The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Spartans! A new age has begun! An age of freedom!
This is PFW in Progress.
Well, about a year ago, I promised to rescind Sparta's don't ask, don't tell policy.
PFW in Progress.
I mean, it's not like any of your games.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, when Stephanos joined this army, you took him under your wing. Every night, you two walk in the woods together for hours. Now, imagine how awkward one of those walks would be if one of you turned out to be gay.
Yeah, that would be awkward if one of us were gay.
Paul Perillo.
I'm as straight as they come, and I wouldn't be able to fight if I thought some gay guy was checking out my body.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that.
And Andy.
Well, if you're gay, feel free to raise your hand proudly and publicly.
Andy Hart.
Are you telling me you're gay?
Are you asking for yourself or a friend?
Eric Scalavino.
So when you oil me up before battle?
No strategic value. Just want to get my hands on you.
And the leather sheath you made for my penis?
Just needed a reason to measure it.
For now, anyway.
And all the times we had sex.
Also gay reasons.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You're still the greatest army on earth. And if we do live to see tomorrow, I'm sure we'll have a good laugh about this in the bathhouse. The bathhouse! Okay, this is all starting to make more sense.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here in Gillette Stadium. I'm glad to be back. I was out for a little school visit with my son yesterday, but we're back in action here for the next 2 hours, 12 to 2, talking about the Miami Dolphins game coming up on Sunday at 1. We'll be going down there, Eric and I, on Saturday. That's right, to get ready for that game. And everything else that's going around in the league today and with the Patriots, obviously the Patriots will be practicing today. And Paul and Andy just walked in. Not from the locker room, though, because that's all different.
Practice imminent.
Yeah.
We actually talked to a player more on the way down here than we ever had in the locker room.
Walking out to practice.
Can we mention who the player was?
Sure. Zoltán Mezco, one of the nicest men on the planet.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So guys are walking out as we speak to the
He was. He was the only guy we saw.
Yeah. Well, they usually
also didn't
early.
Look to be in too big of a hurry.
No, he was actually drinking a coffee while walking out. And I said, the life of a special teamer, drinking a beverage on the way to practice.
There you go.
And I said, and talking to the PFW guys, that can't be good for you.
No, make sure that doesn't get out.
He's also excited for the calendar to change so he can shave his Movember.
Yeah. Looking forward to
it. I said, you got to keep it, though. You got a 5-game winning streak going. He goes, we've also won a lot of games with my name is Zoltán, so I'm just going to. He doesn't buy in superstitions, basically.
What started that Movember thing?
I have no idea.
I think
it's pretty widespread.
I don't like it.
Well, isn't it charitable?
I think it's a charity.
Oh, is it a charity?
It's
thing?
For like male. I don't know if it's prostate cancer or it's about men's health.
I think it's testicular.
Testicular.
Too,
it's a men's health initiative.
It's definitely a charity.
It's our rebuttal to Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yeah, basically, that.
Okay.
I don't know where it started. Who started it?
Rebuttal, he calls it.
Yeah, whatever.
I know. It's like we're arguing with it. You have breast cancer? Well, we have testicular cancer.
Yeah.
All right. So what's going on, guys? Patriots did not get Jason Babin.
Didn't even come close. Well, first of all, they didn't put a claim in him.
Right.
But the second worst team put a claim in him.
I have a theory about why the Patriots did not put a claim in. I think they figured, you know, we got a good thing going. I mean, yes, Chandler Jones is dinged up a little bit, but we got a good thing going here with the team as a whole. Chances are, even if we put a claim in, we're not going to get him. There's too many people in front of us.
Teams did.
Yeah, three teams put claims in, and all of them were ahead of the Patriots, so they all would have gotten them, even if the Patriots had put a claim in. So why kind of even send the message to the teams that we want to bring in this high-profile guy? It's not like he's a guy we're elevating from the practice squad. This is a high-profile guy, was never here before, has no knowledge of the system. Obviously, he would cause a ripple effect because you're not going to bring him in and not play him. Why do that if we don't even think we have a chance You know, so I think that's why they didn't put the claim in.
I think that's a sound. If you are confident in your read of the rest of the league and know somebody's going to claim him, you're not really. I think that's very logical. Now, I don't know if they really have that degree of understanding, because I think if you really wanted him and then he passes through waivers, now you or somebody below you gets him, now you're kicking yourself.
But and here's the other thing why that could backfire for you. You know, Babin. I don't know if he said this, but I think it was assumed that he wanted to go to a team that was had a chance, a shot at winning. Obviously, Jacksonville isn't. Even if you don't think that you have a chance, if you put in a claim for this guy, now he's disgruntled. I could have gone to the Patriots. Now, so then that leads to my second question. There's no way that Jacksonville could do a deal with another team now.
Trading deadline. That's why he's on waivers.
Just no way.
No way. The only way is if they cut him now. That would be the only way that he would go back to waivers again.
Right. So there's no way Jackson would say, hey, you know what? This guy's a piece of currency. Let's just get him, and then we can deal him for something else.
Well, I mean, you could do it in the offseason. Yeah, you can't do it
this
year.
But not this season.
No.
Okay.
Right. And that's
okay.
The reason why Andy's right. Yeah, that's the reason why waivers exist.
Right. Okay.
So the dream is dead.
Were you dreaming? Was this an exciting thing for you?
Not exciting, but I would have put an acclaim on him. I think they could use help at that position. I know his guy, I was reading some stories about Jim Washburn, their defensive line coach. There were some sources saying he was very upset that the team cut him, feels like they're scapegoating him, likes him. He coached him in Tennessee as well, has a good relationship with him. So this isn't like Ray Edwards where there was no production.
The players
kind of
wanted him out.
Yeah, like
coaches.
I'm not sure he's quite the blackballed player.
It's very curious what they're doing in Philadelphia. You know, they've fired some front office people. And I question whether or not, you know, how big the upheaval is going to be in the offseason. Because if they're bringing in a new GM, for example, why bother doing any of this now?
I just think they're starting the process of cleaning house.
Yeah, but let the GM do that.
But you saved money. You saved $1.7 million.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know that's definitely it, but I just think I said to Paul, it seems like they've started the process of tearing
it
down.
But then the question is, who's making these moves? It's not Andy Reid, certainly, right?
No, what I read was they wanted to get more playing time for some younger guys, and that's one area that they were pretty deep in was the defensive line. We talked about this yesterday. They have a second-round guy in Vinnie Curry that they hadn't really gotten a chance to even have active on most game days. They wanted to get some guys. Now, I don't think that tells the whole story. I think there's stuff that we probably don't know. But that's one of the reasons that's being floated around in Philadelphia as to why they decided to make the move. You know, why him? Why not get rid of somebody else to let the younger guys? Fair question. Don't have the answer to it.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. How was it yesterday without me? You guys survived?
We had a good show.
Tremendous.
So you had a lot of emails. A
lot of calls.
A lot of phone calls.
Yeah. Paul actually begged.
I said I didn't really feel like reading a lot of emails early in the show. I said, you know, so if you can give us a call.
Okay.
And
then
suddenly,
ding, 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 ding. Suddenly the phone banks were full.
Okay.
Then Eric came by with some interesting news. Julian Edelman practicing. That gave us a little extra jump for a little while.
I'm very happy and pleased about that.
You should be.
You know,
it looked like he was concussed.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
I guess he wasn't.
For him, I'm happy because, you know, he's not injured severely. And also, you know, he just gets hurt so often. You know, and he's doing so well.
I love
you know, you'd hate to have an interruption in that.
Although that one, I wouldn't have necessarily said, you know, he got hurt. Like, he got knocked the F out.
No, I know. It's unlucky. It's not like, you know, it's...
And, yeah, it's good. You know, I'm still amazed that he's not concussed or dealing with something. I mean, he's concussed because it's on the injury report as limited. But I'm amazed that he was out there. I thought for sure when we saw... Like I said, the way he was still cradling a ball that wasn't there was even... usually you see the arms go straight. Right. He was actually still cradling a ball that was no longer in his arms. That was weird.
No, I think he was blacked out in the air.
Could have been.
I think before he hit the ground, he was...
And I didn't see it, but I also heard there was some blood involved.
Ooh.
I don't know where it was coming from. I don't know if it was a chin or if it was a nose or it was a big hit.
Good Lord.
That was one of those hits where you got to want to play the game. If you don't want to play the game, that's one of those that says, there's going to be an easier way to earn $300K.
Yeah. I don't know. That was pretty severe.
But it's good for Patriots fans from a production, because, I mean, if you're out without Gronk and you're without Edelman and, you know, you still have questions about Welker's ankle, he could twist that at any point. you know, now you're kind of getting down Hernandez is not quite back up to speed. Now you're getting down the roster of weapons a little bit.
Yeah. Now, Tom Curran tweeted out that it's unlikely that Chandler Jones will play. Have we heard anything to reinforce that or contradict it?
Well, just that he didn't practice. Okay. You know, we were surprised at that. When Eric came in, that was another thing that jumped off the practice update was, I think we all kind of thought it didn't look that bad when he came off, that maybe he could have even come back that game. And then he didn't play against, you know, the Jets, but it was a short week, and you maybe kind of understood they give him the extra time. But now you're, whatever it is, 10 days removed from the injury, and he still can't get – clearly it was a bigger injury or a more painful thing that he's dealing with than we initially thought. And that's major. I mean, with Cunningham out, if Jones can't play, I mean, your guy, Trevor Scott, is he next in line? Is Justin Francis next in line? You're going to have a guy playing significant reps who's never played significant reps for this defense. And that's concerning.
Okay.
That's another, you know, Babin. That's kind of why I wanted to slide him in there. Even in rotational reps, he's a proven NFL pass rusher. Get him some effort. But I'll go with my boy Justin Francis. I feel like I'm doing a radio show by myself. You two are just looking at your phones.
No, I
sorry.
I look over at Paul. He's texting somebody. Fred's reading his phone.
No, there's something going on with web radio. I haven't gotten any emails.
That's not good.
Kevin, can you send me a test to webradio@patriots.com to make sure that the is he listening? Okay.
Certainly not good for strippers who paid $5 on his plane to listen to this show.
Yeah.
He's flying to Miami for the game, Fred, and he bought the Wi-Fi on his flight so he could listen to this show.
Oh, nice. Thank you, strippers.
Send an email if you're listening.
That's great.
That's the dedication we have.
Put it up loud and annoy all the other passengers.
How is he listening?
I think it worked, Freddie.
On his phone, you think?
Let's see. Yeah, I got it. Okay, so everybody email webradio@patriots.com.
What happened?
I don't know.
We don't have any emails.
I
no one cares.
I don't have any emails. It's really strange.
Nice job, Paul. You host once and you drove everyone away.
Usually I have at least a few pre-mails.
I left, well, how many emails yesterday? 10, 12? As I said, I didn't really feel like reading them.
But the playbook cleaned them up for you, Paul.
Oh, okay.
They always do. They clean up our scripts.
You know, I followed Fred's lead yesterday, and I wanted to leave some for the playbook.
No, you didn't do anything like following Fred's lead. You incited a discussion about Big East basketball.
Well, that was after the show
talk.
Was over.
By the way,
that wasn't on the air. It was the crossover.
So it wasn't after the show.
Maine. It was after our show before.
No, no, no. We're not going there. Put Maine away.
You're killing
me. Put Northeastern away. No, no, we're not.
I've lost
Fred,
all
read an email.
December
make up 4th. An email.
Pathetic.
Yeah. I saw it and I was like, oh my God.
Utterly pathetic. Don't want to talk about it.
Freddie, I've been perusing the statistics.
Yes.
This morning. And I don't know what it means, but a lot of just. You never realize how many stats there are in the NFL, and you get these sites that'll print you out a report that's 3-4 pages deep. And I was telling Paul, some of them that jumped off the page to me, Patriots are near the bottom of the league, I guess you want to consider it, in opposing team scoring drives that included a first down by penalty.
Opposing team scoring drives that included a first down by penalty.
So giving them
– right.
help on the way to their touchdowns. The Patriots, I believe, are 32nd and the worst in the league at that.
Which is good or bad?
Which is bad. They have a lot of drives.
So they have a lot of them.
They have the most or among the most drives other teams have scored while you gave them a penalty, gave them. And the Patriots, you know, as Paul always
it's
points
because
out.
Because of those PIs and because of
yeah,
the, yeah.
Yeah, and as Paul points out, they're near the top of the league in total drives offensively scoring in which they got a first down by penalty. But in terms of percentage of scoring drives, it's actually low. It's like 20%. They're below average.
That's because you get so many.
Well, but but no, all the teams are up there. The high-scoring teams are up there because they have a lot of drives. So, obviously, right. a percentage of those drives are going to include a penalty.
And they have a lot of plays within
but
the drives.
In terms of percentage of their scoring drives that needed a penalty, basically,
yeah.
it's lower. It's below the average of the league. So, it's not always a Notre Dame Sunday, as Paul likes to say with the officials here at Gillette Stadium.
It's not Notre Dame. I mean, come on.
It's not quite to that level.
Notre Dame is
now,
Notre Dame.
Did you guys talk about, because I know everyone's writing about it now, you know, the pace that they're on with scoring is outpacing 2007?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's not just... Yeah, I tweeted about that the other night or something. Yeah, that's
what I like about this is, as I in 2007, by this time of the season, things started to slow down, and I think it started with the Philadelphia game. You know, the scoring started to slow down. They had a little bit more of a breakout in the Giants game, which was the last game of the season where they scored in the 30s again. But
they needed to.
It got a little tougher in December.
Yeah,
and now it seems to be ratcheting up.
But
here.
They didn't do it as much early.
We'll see what happens in December.
Well, I know. But the bigger,
at this time they hadn't slowed down.
No, the Philly game was not in December.
It's not really, I think what you're seeing though is it's not really possible to go 16 games and score 50 points every game.
Right.
If you do it in your first six or eight, you're probably not going to do it in your last six or eight.
Right.
Weather and other things play a factor. They're having a stretch now where they're scoring a lot of points. I don't know that you could say that team's going to score 16 games with that many points.
But
31 points against Philadelphia they scored. 27 the next week against Baltimore December.
What are the dates? December, Baltimore.
34 the next week against Pittsburgh in December. Then 20 and 28 and 38 the last three games.
Okay, well, then I'm wrong.
That was slowing down the pace.
Yeah, read the beginning.
Read the beginning. It was 38, 38, 38, 34, 34, 48, 49, 52, 56, 31, 27.
You finally went below 34 there. You finally got below 34 points in a game.
Before December, there was one game, the Indianapolis game, 24. And that was the one close game that they had early on that they came from behind.
I think there's a limit to how many straight games you can score that many points. Yeah, no matter how good you are, no matter how bad the other team is.
And both teams got a fair amount of returns for touchdowns as well.
Yeah.
So it's not like, because they got an inordinate amount of returns the last 2 weeks.
Right. They weren't all offensive.
Most of them weren't. Yeah. I mean, they had like 21, 28 points on returns. But they did that in 2007, too. They set a record for the most different players to score a touchdown in one season. So they had a lot of those in 2007.
Got a little bit more of that coming now, too. What they don't have now is the offensive guys. They need to start the Humanawa Nui, Shanko, get all these guys touchdowns. And they'll be back in that area where they'll have, because I think they have 15 guys with touchdowns or something right now. Because they have a lot of guys with one, defensive guys with returns, ones, things like that nature. But the other thing that I found interesting, we were talking about, kind of agrees with what you see on the field, but the Patriots are running the football. The Patriots are among the best in 10-yard runs, but they're also among the worst in negative runs. I think they're fourth in the league in 10-yard runs, and then they're 26th in negative runs. So they're kind of a hit or miss running game. Well,
When you say 26, that's bad.
That's bad.
It's not like they're the...
It's negative runs, right. It's good to be one. If you have four negative runs all year, okay, you know what I mean? Anything that's negative, the good is the one.
Right, but that's the most.
Right.
You rank things from one to 32.
Well, you wouldn't
want to
have the most negatives.
Right, that's what I mean. In my mind,
that's why they have
number
the most...
Number one in negative runs is the worst.
Tom Brady is number one in interceptions.
But that's not how they do it.
No. Because anything negative, you want to be as far away from number one as possible.
Right. Tom Brady is number one in interceptions with 3.
Right.
Yeah, but see,
in my mind, not 30
makes
seconds.
No sense.
Your
Why
mind,
would you
your
rank
mind
a guy
is not
number,
working
right.
properly. That's what we're trying to explain to you.
I know. I'm just saying.
If you're
saying,
the best at something, if it's something that you want fewer
of. A couple years ago, Eli Manning was like, woohoo, I'm number one in interceptions.
The guy who wins the golf tournament is number one with the lowest score, not the highest.
I understand, but when somebody says
I'd be winning so many golf tournaments.
But when somebody says to me, oh, this guy is number one in interceptions, thrown, I'm thinking, oh, okay, he has the most, but it's the opposite.
No, yeah.
If you lead the league in interceptions, then you have the most. I mean, that's bad.
Right.
But you're 32nd in that category in terms of how you would be ranked because you rank from best to worst.
Like the Patriots are the best allowing big plays through the air because they've allowed the most, right, in your mind?
Right. Right. They lead that
They
category.
Lead the NFL lead in 20-yard completions.
Right.
Woohoo!
Yeah, there's a lot of numbers. A lot of Andy's been.
I love numbers.
Wrapping himself
I don't always
up
know what
the
they mean, but it's fun to just digest what they're really good at, what they're really bad at, and sort of.
Well, it's good for me because I come up with these cockamamie things that I always think there's patterns and stuff, and it's good to see the numbers. That one Paul was right on, and that one Paul, that didn't have anything to do with what you were talking about. You're way off on that. Sometimes the numbers can validate what you're thinking, and sometimes
What Ernie Adams does for Bill.
Bill
watches the game, Ernie watches the numbers.
When you're looking purely at the numbers, there's always conditions.
Of course
You know, and you have to kind of know.
But those conditions also, the more games, the bigger the sample, take care of themselves.
Yeah.
It's even we were talking, Andy and I were joking. He was making fun of me with the Notre Dame Saturday thing, and I was saying, not all penalties on scoring drives are the same. You get a 20-yard play, and then you get a face mask thrown in there. Well, you already had the first down, you're already moving, as opposed to a third down incompletion from your own 20. That's a big penalty.
Right.
You know?
He thinks all those go against the Patriots.
No, Notre Dame. Those are all those are Notre Dame. Get back on point here.
So
Notre Dame Saturday.
Notre Dame. So rooting for Notre Dame.
I will be as well if they play Alabama.
Unless they play Georgia.
If they play Georgia, I'll root for Georgia. But if they play Alabama, I can't root for the Antichrist.
But doesn't Alabama have a game this week?
Against Georgia. Georgia and Alabama.
Oh, okay, that's right. So it's a winner-take-all game.
Well, winner gets to play.
Yeah. Everybody is assuming it's Georgia-Alabama winner. And they'll play Notre Dame in about, I don't know, 3 months?
Right.
48 days or something?
I said it before.
17 days after the final bowl game?
Yeah, it's not fair that all these other teams have that 13th game and Notre Dame doesn't. And that 13th game can count against them.
And that game is against a great opponent.
Yeah.
It's not like a cupcake because it's theoretically against another really, especially the SEC, you're playing another really good team.
So when... Is Notre Dame not part of a conference?
No.
They're an independent, and they never will be because of the money.
You can't force them to be part of a conference because, you know, now they're, you know. I guess not every conference has a conference championship, right?
No.
Okay.
Only the good ones.
Yeah.
Which makes it harder.
That's part of the thing. Because you need to have at least 12.
My wife says, I don't want to follow college football because it's too confusing. And I can understand why, for someone who's not really into it, would be.
Absolutely. No, but Fred's right. In terms of winning a national title, a conference championship game is not good. In terms of making money and everything they're looking, it's good.
Yeah.
So do you want to win a national title? Then you probably shouldn't be playing the other best team in your conference to try to earn a berth in the championship
game. Now, the SEC gets by because it doesn't matter if their best team is the one that comes out, because the second one, if it happens to pull an upset, is going anyway. You know, matter of fact, you can make an argument that the third best team in the SEC could be going. But
Florida's probably better than both of them.
Let's say it was, let's say it was somehow Stanford and let's say UCLA and Stanford were both had one loss. You know, Stanford was undefeated and UCLA had one loss. You know, and they had a play. You know, they could, if UCLA wins and all of a sudden they had two losses and UCLA beats Stanford, that knocks Stanford out.
Right.
And UCLA is not going, so the conference championship game hurt the Pac-12.
Right.
But that doesn't happen in the SEC because whoever wins is going. Because they're that good.
Or they both go.
Right.
Or in the case of last year, they both, you know, because LSU didn't even get to the conference.
Right.
Alabama didn't even get to the conference championship game, and they still were able to go.
So, all right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. We do indeed now have emails, so I just need a little prodding, I guess.
Yeah,
those conference
weird.
Championship games, though, are pretty good. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, like
Saturday's
that.
A good day.
Yeah,
if you're into it, you got the Big 12. Even the ACC, Pac-12. The SEC is obviously the big one.
I'll be traveling. Is the SEC?
No, it'll be at night.
Is
right?
The SEC at
one
night?
Has to be
that's
an 8 o'clock game.
I don't know what time.
Because Jackie UK thought it was a day game.
Really?
She didn't know.
I'm not sure what time it starts.
That surprises me. I mean, in this made-for-TV world,
yeah, I would think
that should be a primetime game.
And who has the SEC now? Is it CBS or ESPN?
CBS.
Yeah, so I would think they would want to insist on putting
agree,
it at night.
But what the hell is that thing?
Bruce in Baltimore writes in.
Bruce!
He says, great show as always. Based on the close relationship between Bill and Andy Reid, I have to believe we didn't put a claim on Babin because Bill knew he was not a desirable guy for our locker room. When you look at the Philly press, the fans there are thrilled that he's gone and badmouthed him for much more than performance issues.
There might be something with Babin because we talked about this yesterday, Fred, without you. He's been on a million teams.
Without you.
Yeah. No, because he didn't hear us talk about this is what I meant. He's been on like 5 or 6 teams in 8 years. It's kind of like the Brandon Lloyd resume.
It's even more like the Brandon Lloyd resume because the one place that he had a lot of success, Tennessee, his coach there went to the Eagles and brought him with him, kind of like the Josh McDaniels, Brandon Lloyd thing. So this one guy has whatever, you know, found a relationship, a comfort level with him, brought him there, and he's the guy that remains upset that they released him and scapegoated him.
Yeah. Hey, the way, food today is brought to us from our good friends at Enterasys.
Yes.
Enterasys is the company that put in the Wi-Fi for the Gillette Stadium. And
they've stepped it up for us today.
Yep, good partners for us. So they actually bought us food from Red Robin.
Red Robin.
So thanks, Enterasys. Mike Lytle is the guy that put it together for us from Enterasys.
I meant to there was a poll that I think Darren Revelle always does that crap, and the one thing that fans most wanted at stadiums was wireless internet.
Good connectivity, yeah. Wireless internet.
And yeah, so we're ahead of that curve.
We gave it
to Red Robin.
Yeah. Red Robin.
yeah, so you know, fans this year, for the first time, had connectivity via Wi-Fi throughout the stadium. We're excited about that. Next year, we're going to be even more excited because we're going to start offering more content to the people in the seats. So it's going to be great. It's going to be
great. How about us doing live post-play analysis every play?
We'd have to worry about the latency of the internet, but yeah, possibility.
Yeah. Two plays later, we're analyzing some.
You know what I was thinking? It's
can
like,
we eliminate the paper? Yeah. How can we eliminate the paper?
But you know what I was thinking? And honestly, you know how like in courtrooms, they have the person doing the oral transcription and she's got like this thing over her mouth so no one can see, hear it. It's like, it looks like a big funnel and she holds it over her mouth so she can talk.
That's how the transcriber does it?
Yeah, a lot of times. Oh. But no one else can hear. And I was thinking we could sit in the press box and do our own little radio broadcast during the game with that over our mouth so other people couldn't hear
that us. Would be fun. But we could do that. Little pop-up analysis right after every single play. Break it down.
It would be unique. I have to say, I think it'd be cool.
Half of the analysis would be Andy screaming, "Oh, he's dead. He just broke his leg. Won't be seeing him for a year."
Well, the thing is, it is syncing it up with what people are seeing at home.
Right.
That's the problem, you know.
Well, not at home, in the stadium.
You'd want to do it for the people in the stadium. I was thinking for everyone.
Oh yeah,
in the
world. I'm talking about in the stadium.
Oh, okay.
And it pops up, and maybe even it shows kind of the replay.
Yeah.
Immediately, and we're talking over the replay.
Yeah.
Of the play that they just saw live. So I'm literally talking seconds after the play ends. It's us voicing over the replay, like a color guy does on TV.
Yeah.
But from a Patriots-only perspective.
Yeah.
Seems like it would take a lot of technology.
See, that's the kind of thing where I think, you know how they hand out the little radios at the Super Bowl?
I
think that would be a better way to do that, with your own frequency on a little one of those AM.
But then they can't see it.
No, they can't see it, but they can hear it.
Right. I think it's better to see it and hear it.
Oh. Okay. Anyway, all right.
It does have to be something more sophisticated than those radios they hand out at the Super Bowl.
All right, food's here. Well, actually, sometimes the simplest thing is the best way. But anyway, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800. All aboard!
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I got her part. Knows her for.
She works hard for her money, yeah. On the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos. I like disco. I'm not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Once again, thanks to Interesis for lunch from Round Robin.
Excellent.
Oh, it was a Red Robin.
Red.
Okay. Interesis. Mm. Now, we have fans that listen from all over the world. Whatever sporting venue that is close to you that you typically go see sporting events, write that owner, GM, say you want Wi-Fi and you want the company that did it for the Patriots to put it in. So,
is that what they do?
What?
Is that their focus, is putting it in arenas, or do they have a general?
Oh, no, they put it, you know, before us, it was mostly like hospitals, education, universities. But they also make switches, like these things that, you know, route the signals from place to place. So they make hardware, too.
Okay. You know? Are they local?
Yeah, they're in Andover, Mass., but they're moving to Salem, New Hampshire, I think, because they're getting so big.
Tax issue.
Maybe, but they are expanding, so they needed more space. So, thank you to Interesis.
Yes, thank you very much. And thank you to Red Robin. I don't know if they threw in the extra fries on request or just we got boxes of extra fries here that are really yummy.
Shh, Interesis isn't supposed to know that. Maisie writes in at webradio@patriots.com. I know you hate Brandon Lloyd, Andy, because he bitch-slapped your lover, Eric, but you don't have to act like he stole your girlfriend in high school. An F? Really? Were you giving out grades or something? Be objective and call your boy Brady for not hitting him when he got open deep. He missed Lloyd again badly against the Jets after he destroyed Cromartie off the line. Bottom line, PFW hates Brandon's, Merriweather, Tate, McGowan, Lloyd, same thing. SEC is back in the game. The entire country hates us again.
I love Spikes.
Yep. He's the SEC.
No, his name's Brandon. Oh. He's trying to say we hate all Brandons.
Oh. Well.
And I didn't hate Brandon Tate at all.
No.
Brandon Tate was kind of like irrelevant. Like, no, didn't really leave a lasting memory with me either way.
Okay.
But what grade would you give Brandon Lloyd? You've been pretty vociferous in your criticisms.
I'd give him a C.
Maybe I just had higher expectations.
I gave him a C minus, I think.
Yeah.
They yelled at me.
Yeah, that's fair.
I expected big things. With the way this offense was built, I thought he was going to have opportunities. And I agree with Paul. Not even just saying, okay, his yards per catch is abysmal and, you know, he hasn't produced in that area, but he hasn't gotten open. Like, I can't even remember that many times when you're like, wow, he's wide open. He blew by that guy. You know, I've been utterly disappointed. Aside from the highlight reel type catches, which is sort of his MO, I haven't seen that many plays.
Well, the play against the Jets, I guess Brady was upset because I think he thought he screwed that play up down the sideline.
That he who?
With him and Lloyd.
Brady screwed up or Lloyd screwed up?
No, Brady screwed up. Yeah.
Could be.
So.
Definitely still a work in progress there.
But I think that
goes. I don't even know that play, what we're talking about.
He actually tried the same, pretty much the same play three times, and each time he was unsuccessful. I think the first one was Hernandez. And he tried it with
Welker, maybe
Lloyd, and I think maybe Welker was the third. Yeah, and all three times were unsuccessful. Felix from Houston writes in: let's say we get past Miami. What is the game looking like against Houston? This is the first time I'd emailed PFW. I'm more of a Patriots playbook guy, but I do like listening to the shenanigans and arguments you guys get into. And that's Felix from Houston. So, what is the game looking like against Houston?
I would say problematic. I still am a believer that the well-rounded, although problematic for the defense, the Patriots defense against the Houston offense, because obviously their passing game has come on a little bit of late. They can run the football. Conversely, the Patriots run defense has not been quite as stout of late. Now, the other side of that is the teams that can spread Houston out have given them problems, and we certainly have every bit of confidence in the Patriots spreading them out. So I think it has the makings of a really good football game between the two best teams in the AFC.
Yeah, and I've said it before. You know, Patriots fans look at the schedule and they say, ooh, that's going to be a big test for the Patriots. But I'm sure the Texans fans did the same thing.
God, yeah.
They looked at that schedule, ooh, that's a big test for us. So like you said, I expect a really good game.
Because what I just said, the matchups, I think you can look at matchups that could sway you. This is why Houston's going to win X, Y, and Z. But then I could go to the other side and say, well, no, this is why the Patriots are going to win X, Y, and Z. And whichever of those factors kind of succeed or play out that day, you'll have a winner. I think either team could win it. Either team could lose it. I don't think it'll be a blowout either way. I think it's going to be a good football game between good football teams.
I think the Patriots are lucky that it's at home. I think they really got a good
benefit. Yeah,
they got a good draw because that and the 49ers game is at home.
Yeah, well, that is really getting both of them.
But
I certainly think this team is capable of going on the road in Houston and beating Houston.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't think it's – you know, they only can win because they're at home.
No.
A lot can change in a week, and we'll see how both teams play this week, and maybe that'll change our minds. Right now, I think the Patriots are going to blow Houston out. I really do. And I think Houston's good. I everything Andy said about Houston, I totally agree with. I just think that they are in a bad spot right now. I think that sometimes the NFL comes down to the spot, and I think it's a bad spot for Houston. I think their defense is banged up. They're tired. They're playing on the road. They played two long overtime games in a row. They're going to have to play another road game now this week. And then they're going to come to the New England for their third straight road game with their defense banged up. I think the Patriots' offense is clicking right now. I think they're going to blow them out. And I think Andy's reasoning about that spread them out stuff seems to have been bothering Houston.
So you have no fear of the balanced Houston attack that's come out?
Oh, I think Houston will score some points, yeah. But I think
so you think 30?
I think the Patriots might be in the 40s in that game.
So you think like 40 to 20 or something?
Yeah. Maybe like 49-28, something like that.
More importantly, today's lunch from Red Robin came with a card.
Oh.
That's like a business card type thing that says, come join me. Join me at the bar with a friend or two, and I'll buy your lunch. And it's got from a handwritten on it, Julie, with a little smiley face next to it. Thursdays, mornings, 11 a.m., Friday night, 4 p.m. Like, what is this?
That means she's hot. When she puts a little smiley face under it, that
certainly,
means she's hot.
I had a little movement. There's no question.
Kevin's going, no.
But this intrigues me. The way it's worded intrigues me. Join me at the bar with a friend or two, and I'll buy your lunch. So does that mean you guys have to pay, and she'll buy my lunch?
Right, buy two.
Or she'll buy all
free.
Of our lunches.
If you bring business,
she'll buy your lunch.
That's what I figured. So if you guys want to go to Red Robin, I'll go with you with my card.
No, we'll just get everything for 30% off.
We get discount there?
No, but if you're getting one free out of three, it's and you split it evenly, it's 30%.
I don't think you
off.
Got the part. He wants his free and right. We're paying 100%.
I know. I don't think you
saying.
Got the part where I'm not bringing a wallet.
I understand. Because he's, you know.
Actually, Kevin.
Yeah, that could,
here's
no,
your
that
lunch.
Could be to what you owe me. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm just not going with you. Find two friends, and there's your free lunch.
Higgins and Hopkinton writes
you
in. I listen all the time.
Never.
And often when we play an opponent, I check around for an equivalent radio, web radio production from the enemy team. Can't find any. So a big thanks to you guys, Kevin, and the people who fund the Patriots web productions, including Fantasy Football, Playbook, etc. Like our position in the NFL, Patriots are head and shoulders above the rest, and I just wanted to say thanks. Keep up the great work and stay number one in the league. It's tough to stay atop, but we've managed to do it for over a decade. So.
And we've stayed humble, too.
Right. Manny writes in to remind us that the SEC game is at 4 p.m. on CBS.
Correct.
I think we figured that out during the break. Josh writes in, he says the fries are bottomless at Red Robin, so they probably threw in a few extra packs for good measure. I know they're terrible for you, but those bottomless fries with ranch dressing are the best part about going to Red Robin.
The fries are very good. We don't have any ranch
dressing.
They're
steak fries.
Is that what those are considered?
Yeah, those are called steak fries.
Yeah.
I would say both burger places here, fries are really good.
And very different.
Five Guys
fries are.
Both of them.
Very different kinds, but they're both.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of it's in the seasoning. And by the way, they sent us a nice bottle of Signature Blend Red Robin seasoning as well to take home.
Right.
I'm claiming it.
You can have it. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Justin in Tennessee. Hey, Justin. Justin, you there? Okay, turn down your computer. I've never had to say that before. Justin. He's not.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, there he is. Okay, you just missed it.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yep.
Welcome aboard.
I was calling about something that Andy and Paul were talking about yesterday about John Gruden in the University of Tennessee. First off, I agree with what Andy said about Gruden being overrated. And also, listened to the show yesterday, the news agency has come out and said that it was wrong and that Gruden is not getting part of the Cleveland Browns. And he is supposed to be talking to the athletic director at Tennessee later on this week, but the Cleveland Browns part was wrong.
Yeah, and the Browns immediately came out. They issued a statement saying that the report was erroneous, and they were very vehement about that. Now, I wonder, what is the perception, not just you, but, you know, the people around you? Is Gruden a popular hire, or do they think he's overrated?
I think a lot of people around here want Gruden because one big thing that we think he would help us with is recruits.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, having his name would bring in a lot of big-name recruits to the university.
Yep.
And Tennessee needs that right now, so that would help us out a lot.
Well, you kind of tried the other way, going with, like, the lower profile but family guy from the community of Tennessee, right, with Dooley, and that kind of didn't work. So you might want to try the flashy recruiting, big-name, high-profile guy now.
Yeah, and the university has given a lot of money to the athletic department here recently just to help with the aid of getting a big coach because they know they have to have a big coach this time after the failure with Dooley.
Well, it's funny because I'm reading a lot of these places that are doing that. You know, like Boston College are talking about spending money.
Yeah.
University of Colorado, they paid the last guy like $700,000. They're committing to $2.5 million a year salary. There's a lot of football teams that are pumping money into the head coach's salary.
Well, it brings the school money. It's an investment.
And you're seeing a lot of places where it works, where you get a big name. You know, Urban Meyer comes in, you win games. Bill O'Brien, you spend a little, not that he was the flashiest coach, but, you know, immediate coaching changes can lead to immediate success.
So.
Yeah, the Tennessee has said that last week they brought out and said that they were going to give the athletic department $18 million over the next 3 years to help in the aid for the coaching job.
Wow.
So.
Well, maybe Peyton Manning will come back and be your offensive coordinator when he retires.
Well, maybe Bill Belichick will come coach you if you're going to be, you're going to be paying a lot of money. It's
right.
$6 million a year?
They're saying that it may be that much, but they're giving that to help in the search for the aid, or in the search. So.
Wow.
I hope it'll help, though.
All right.
Turn on ESPN. That's the search.
All right, Justin, there's thanks for the call.
See, someone threw
from Tennessee.
Someone threw your Jeff Tedford out there yesterday. Did you see that?
For BC?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I think it might have been Romanowski. On that thing.
Trouble is,
they're
going to spend that much. You got
to
pay.
Well, it's like they were talking today to the guy from Miami on EEI. Dan Cilio, the wild, what do they call him, the midday madman or something like that. He's the one that went on that rant after Miami lost a game, the Miami Hurricanes. You remember that, Fred?
Yeah, sure.
You know, you got to stick them, right. Pull out a knife, stab them, something. You know, he was on today. They were talking about the Miami coach, Al Golden, possibly leaving Miami to go to BC. He makes 175, I guess, at Miami. And BC has said that they wanted to up it, like Andy just mentioned. But, well, you know, what are they going to up it to? Two? Yeah. You're not going to go from Miami to BC for basically the same salary. You'd have to really make it worth his while.
That's still amazing. Even if they pay him money, I find it amazing that a coach would leave Miami to go to BC.
Well, evidently Miami's, you know, listening to him, Miami's facilities are terrible.
Still, though, I mean, it's BC.
I don't know. There's something to be said about, you know, being in Boston.
Cold.
Especially if you have kids.
No high school recruits.
You know,
from...
having your kids grow up here. It's not that bad.
There's a difference between not that bad and it being attractive.
Well, maybe he hates Miami. Maybe there's a lot of BS going on down there that he just wants to get away from.
Or maybe he wants a bump.
Well, you know what the problem is? If you come to BC, you're not necessarily dealing with an alumni base that is thinking in terms of national championships. At Miami, they are.
Yeah.
And they probably have the equal amount of chance to do it nowadays.
Yeah.
So it might be hard to, you know, I think everybody down there is still looking for, you know, Howard Schnellenberger, Jimmy Johnson, Dennis Erickson, when, you know, even Larry Coker.
Right.
But it's been 10 years.
Yep.
You know, what did he say today? Since 2001, they're 42-37. Those are Virginia numbers. He was very entertaining, that guy.
He was. I'd take him up here. Replace Maloney with him.
Let's go to Washington, D.C. Ernest is in Washington, D.C. Hey, Ernest.
Hey, guys.
Good thing
Strippers
is on a flight. He can't contact Lou Maloney.
Good. So, yeah, I'm a huge, huge fan of the show. And, you know, I've been listening for a little over a decade and stuff. So, like Justin, a first-time caller.
Thank you.
Long-time listener.
What took you so long?
Yeah, what have you been waiting for?
I kind of like to, you know, sit in the back and listen to you guys analyze and you know, I enjoy it that way, I guess.
That's fine.
It's kind of like me at a strip club. I just kind of survey the situation before I make my pick and pounce.
Exactly. But, you know, I'm kind of like Paul, too. I'm a huge, huge Bledsoe fan, and that's kind of how I started, you know, following Patriots and stuff. So,
Good man.
So my birthday is coming up, guys, and, you know, because I have an amazing girlfriend, she bought me tickets to the New England Houston Texans game.
Nice.
So I'm coming
good
up.
Game.
So my question is, you know, because it's a night game and everything, how I guess we're supposed to be staying at the Hampton Inn. I don't know how close that is to the stadium, but how are we going to get back to the hotel after the game? Is Metro running or?
Well, there's a lot of Hampton Inns. I don't. Which one?
Do you know what town it's in?
Yeah. What, you know what town?
Let me see. I have an address here. 230 Lee Burbank Highway, Revere, Massachusetts. Is that the airport?
Revere, Mass.
That's not close.
You are far away.
Not close at all?
No. That's good. That's a good 45-minute ride.
I mean, the best way there's a train that you can catch at South Station, but you'd have to get from Revere to South Station to get on the train.
That's going to be an expensive cab ride if you just do the cab.
I would rent a car.
You're going to have to rent a car.
You're going to have to rent a car.
Because that's a good 45-minute ride, and then you're talking a Monday night game.
Yeah.
You know, it's you 2, 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. you want to be in control of your own fate. You want to be in a car and be in no hurry after the game to get back.
And that's you're close to the airport is where you are, and that's a good half-hour, 45-minute ride.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Another question. Since I'll be in town, is there any, you know, what are the sites that I need to check out? I know that, you know, the Patriots place is a new scene up there as well.
Well, what I would do, now I'm assuming that you're going to have time to see Boston. So, other than the stuff in Boston, I would get here as early as you can for the game. I think the parking lot's open 4 hours before the game. I'd get in here as soon as you can and walk around Patriot Place. You know, there's all kinds of shops and restaurants. Even go on patriot-place.com and look at all the restaurants. Maybe even make a reservation so that you can have dinner or, you know, a late lunch, you know, at one of the restaurants before the game.
Go ice skating?
Yeah, you can go ice skating. There's an ice skating rink. You can rent skates, so you don't have to bring your own. I don't know if you've ever been to a Bass Pro, but there's this amazing store if you're into, like, outdoor stuff called Bass Pro you can walk to.
Okay.
You know, so I would check all that out, you know, before the game. And, you know, like I said, if you rent a car, get here 4 hours before the game, take your time, do all that stuff, and then, you know, watch the game and be in no hurry to leave afterwards. But, yeah, but that's what I would do. And then, you know, assuming you're getting here a couple days early, I don't know if you are or not, but, you know, check out Boston. There's a lot of stuff to do. Yeah.
Should be in about Sunday afternoon, so I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, to checking out the scene and stuff.
Yep.
All right, guys.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Have
all
fun.
Right. Ernest in Washington, D.C., up for the Houston game.
Well, look who's on the line now, Andy.
Alvin's in Texas. Hey, Alvin.
Nice. It's our resident cocaine dealer.
Oh.
Alvin knows a little something about the drug scene in Texas.
I asked him about steroids, if he sees a lot of steroids in Texas, and he said, steroids, weed cocaine.
See a lot of stuff.
And heroin.
I was going to say one thing. Fred, don't take it this wrong, but if you ever, like, retire or, like, you kind of leave that show, you leave it in to the right people.
Why? That was very nice.
If you ever retire or leave the show, you're leaving it in the hands of the right people. Andy and I, who did the show yesterday.
Okay, all right, good.
Yeah, I mean, they do a great job anyways. I love their, you know, their talks because, like, I was in the podcast. But what's going to happen to that guy, Bavin or Bambi, I don't know what his name is, from the Eagles?
Yeah, he got claimed by the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. Believe me, there's no one more upset than him.
Right.
He's landing in Jacksonville.
Why did he go to Jacksonville? How come he couldn't go to Indianapolis?
It wasn't up to him.
Yeah, because Kansas City obviously didn't claim him, and then he goes to the worst team that claims him, and that was Jacksonville.
This is one question I'm curious, Anthony. Are they going to let go of Romeo Crennel sooner or later?
Yes. I would be stunned if Romeo Crennel is still in Kansas City. You know, the question is, will Pioli be there? There's already people wondering if Pioli's going to be there. Kirk Ferentz might be his hired to lure him out of Iowa to be his, clearly, Pioli's last choice as coach there. But, yeah, Romeo Crennel is going to be available. Now, whether he comes back to New England, whether they even pursue him.
You don't think that they would ever just say, hey, Romeo, you can stay as D.C.?
Maybe. And he's the type of guy that I think would actually do that, could actually do that. Yeah. I don't think a lot of people could do that, that backward move. I think he's a guy that could, but I don't know if he'd want to. And I'm also not sure Pioli's going to make the call. If Pioli's out, they're all out.
And Alvin, are you asking because you'd like to see Romeo come here?
Yeah, back to the dark country. Too bad Charlie White won't go back to the New England Patriots. I would love to see the old school New England Patriots. Now, kick ass, you know. Can I say that on the radio?
Yes.
Yeah, you just did.
Okay.
Oh, I feel like you're going to trouble for that.
No, it's the internet. You can say almost anything.
Well, you already talked about your cocaine experiences.
Well, that's the thing I was wondering. And, like, who's leading right now the MVP race for the quarterback?
You want to get high?
Well, Brady and Manning.
Yeah, according to a lot of things I read, people think Manning is the leader and Brady is coming on strong quickly.
But he has three interceptions, and Peyton Manning has, like, about seven interceptions.
Well, I think that
Manning also has like nine straight rating of like 100 or something.
It gets into
ridiculous.
That age-old question of what is the MVP. If it's the most outstanding player, I think maybe Brady gets the edge. But if it's who's more valuable to the success of his team, you got to say Manning right now.
It's pretty much the best quarterback is what it is.
Yeah. See, I don't really understand how a player can be more valuable to his team than Tom Brady is.
They won 11 games without him.
And didn't make the playoffs.
I love him.
So, next question.
Did Corey Dillon score in yards? You know, but now this guy, Ridley, man, he's like 900 points.
Yep, he's very close to 1,000 already. Yeah.
So how much did Corey Dillon have back then?
He had about 1,600.
Franchise record 1,600.
Yeah. So he has a little ways to go to beat that.
He's not going
to
get
there. He's on pace for 1,300, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess.
Well, what I noticed about this year is that now they're running the ball and throwing the ball, which that is even better. Brady is not going to get, you know, hit a lot like last year. That's all I was wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I kind of missed you yesterday, Fred.
Well, thanks for missing me, but I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was wondering, is it because the PFW Facebook buddies were telling me what happened to Fred? What happened to Fred? He probably...
Okay.
He didn't die.
I'm here.
One theory was you were purchasing another Lexus.
No, no. I was out on a school visit with my son, so it was a pre-planned day that I had to be out. All right, Alvin. Thanks for calling. It's good to see that they're allowing people to use the phones in the penitentiary. But
penitentiary?
He used up his one phone call for us, but that's okay.
Oh, leave Alvin alone.
Yeah.
He lives in the valley.
Yeah. He lives in Texas.
Like he lives in the valley. What was that?
Andy asked him yesterday. So you're from Texas. Whereabouts in Texas? Well, I'm in the valley.
And I'm thinking it's a massive state. What valley?
So yeah. I was thinking, Fred, the Merrimack Valley?
I didn't know they had valleys in Texas. I thought it was pretty flat out there.
I have no idea. But I like his calls. He entertains me.
There's mountains, not like in El Paso and stuff, isn't there some?
Maybe. Yeah. Sort of the runoff from the
Rockies.
Yeah, because
wouldn't El Paso be the pass between the mountains?
I guess so.
That makes sense. Yeah. I get made fun of on this show to interpret.
Well, the Rio Grande.
Punta Gorda. Is that a fat point? I don't know. I never heard that.
You know, El Paso, you know, the pass.
Let's, you guys.
Let's see. Wow. Mike is upset with
Andy.
Eric.
Eric, yes.
He says, just had to say that Eric is a bigger D-bag than I ever thought.
Oh, no question.
He had to make a great caller less entertaining by correcting his pronunciation. I want to beat him. Tell the guy to go back to Welcher. That is fun. Oh, okay. So he's mad at correcting one of our callers.
He's right. He took all the fun away from Eldridge's calls. That was the
takes all the fun out of everything.
The beauty of Eldridge's calls every week were the Welchers.
And
now we
says,
don't get those anymore.
P.S. Well, every time I see Colin Kaepernick, I think of an SI article after the draft about how badly San Fran tried to get our pick to draft Kaepernick. They thought they offered more than the value of the pick, but we wanted the sun. To me, that goes down as a double error of draft judgment from the greatest person ever to live on Earth. We pick a guy who can't play and is always injured and gave up multiple picks. I will find that article and advise what San Francisco offered. In Belichick, the coach, I pretty much trust. In Belichick, the drafter, I am an atheist. Wow. It's Mike from Cranston.
Wow. Whew. I don't know the details of that, so I can't really comment.
Well, it's pretty fair to say that Kaepernick and Rozai Dowling are going in different directions. Although you don't like him because he has tattoos.
Did you hear
Paul talking about that on Felger yesterday?
No, I didn't hear.
Name a great quarterback who has tattoo sleeves.
Sleeves of tattoos. Can you name one?
No.
All right, thank you. No further questions.
But that's kind of
says the old white guy.
Right.
Frank goes, well, wait a minute. That's kind of, no
well,
kidding.
It's fairly a new thing.
It was tongue in cheek, idiots.
And then was it Bertrand who fired back with name a great quarterback you've seen with an earring? And you go, come to think of it.
I go, wait a minute now.
Now we're on. You can't have an earring either.
Oh, didn't Jeff Garcia have an earring?
Wait a minute. Wait. Now, you've uncovered a deeper problem here. Jeff Garcia was great.
Well, he was pretty good.
He was average at best.
Yeah. The answer
for like
no.
A year and a half.
Yeah, he had his run.
You can't have long hair, you can't have an earring, and you can't have tats.
There's a certain image
you
that
you
need
today,
to uphold.
In today's world, if Joe Namath was reinvented and young again in today's world, he'd have tattoos.
He probably.
A guy like him.
But I don't know about the sleeves.
I don't think he would.
There's a difference between a tattoo and...
Yeah. I don't have any problem with
although,
a tattoo.
Although, as Paul later found out when they did research, most of his tattoos are Bible and
they're
religious.
They're like Psalms.
Picked by his parents.
His parents went with him. To pick out the proper passages.
You're right, Paul. He's a bad guy.
And he has an earring, too?
No. That was just Cam a side Newton. Question. Oh.
Jerry Richardson gave Cam Newton. Don't you remember that?
Right.
When he got drafted, he gave
Cam
Newton a hard time.
Didn't he also say, boy?
Probably.
Probably. Nick writes in, I could just imagine all three of you guys doing Patriots live play-by-play. You'd never get one by one throw. Fred, this is the dialogue. Fred. See, he's as good as he ever was. Paul Andy. Come on, Fred. He's not what he used to be. And then we start yelling. And then five plays go by, and Brady to Welker TD. You three are still arguing about Brady's status. And then Fred says, see, I told you. And Andy and Paul, Fred, you're such a homer. The team isn't anything like 03, 04. And Fred says, good grief.
You're pretty accurate there. That's pretty
good
close.
Good grief. I don't think I've ever said that. What am I, Charlie Brown?
But I'll give you the favorite Fredism of every game. When we're in the press box, and only if we could have audio of some of the interaction between the
Well, I still say him, for his curse words, should just be him wired up.
Yeah.
Do it live, audible.
Do it live! But every single running play the Patriots have ever run during the time I've been with Fred Kirsch, according to him, should have been a touchdown. If only the running back caught properly, he
but
would have
you
been
can,
gone.
You can see the hole and he can't it sometimes. So yes,
and you see stuff that more than most.
So yes, please do play by play. I love the arguing. That's why the show is so good. And what yesterday's show was missing, conflict. There was no conflict yesterday.
Well, with the two man show, it's hard.
Andy and I didn't have any arguments yesterday.
I thought Eric wasn't here. He was.
He was by later.
He likes to just not.
He talked yesterday.
He actually talked more than usual.
And
yesterday.
I to the point where when I left and he stayed to do the playbook, and when Andy and I were walking upstairs, I said, "What do you think got into him? Why did he talk today?"
And I said something I can't say on the air.
Right. but he probably will in about 10 minutes.
What I was gonna say was, we got a good email. A good cover would have been rectum.
Damn near
just
killed
wrecked.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's a good. That's one you can get by with.
And I think on one of the radio shows, it might have been Felger and Maz, they were doing a little contest, and someone came up with Bumble.
Bumble.
That
and,
was yeah. good.
Bumble and Poopin' Score were the two that I liked.
But I think rectum.
I liked both of those.
Yeah.
I think rectum is the one you can sell as we rectum. You know, and rectum, like, I think it's the easiest.
That's a good one.
I think that's the
and
winner.
And you go, you know, rectum and you spell it the right way.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
Can,
right,
you know,
right,
it's the very definition of a pun.
Right.
You know, that, double entendre.
That would have been good, you know.
I was also thinking.
Speaking of Eric.
What a bummer from the Jets' perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
If they had a cover.
Right. Right.
There's extra fries there.
Plenty of fries.
You won't have a lot in your box there. In your box. Andy immediately gives me the evil eye, and I'm thinking to myself, in the what? What did I? His lunch is in a. What? I don't know.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Olivier in Virginia. Olivier, I guess you sent us some waffles the other day, huh?
Yes, I did, and I hope you had your share.
I did.
I did as well. Your mother's waffles are as moist as ever.
I wasn't here yesterday, but Eric was nice enough to give me my my little package of waffles.
Yep.
Oh, very nice. See, Eric is not bad of a guy. He's a good guy.
That's right. C'était magnifique, Olivier.
Oh, all right, God. Stop.
Jesus.
Yeah, they were hard, I think, and it was an homage for you, Andy.
What's that?
I said they were hard, the waffles, I think, and it was an homage for my mother. For
they go in soft.
Right.
And then,
right.
If you leave them
go
in hard.
Too long, they get hard, yeah. And then the syrup gets
right.
all over it.
Right. Yeah.
Very nice.
You might try it with a little whipped cream sometimes, you know.
Oh, now you're talking.
Ooh la la.
Chocolate syrup.
Orange fire water.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell my mom that you like them. Today's her birthday. So she.
Oh, happy birthday to Mrs. Olivier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old is she?
She stopped counting at 55.
Oh. Kind of like Paul.
Yes.
Bon anniversaire.
Stop counting.
All right, can you stop?
Oh, he gets so upset when people do
that. But you know what, Andy? I will not correct Eric in his pronunciation, I promise.
Okay. And he probably needs correct.
Because I don't need to be corrected.
It's the King's English. What is it in French?
Like people are complaining about the substances that the players are taking, and my question is, how do you expect these guys to play such a violent game without taking something?
Well, that's the thing.
Very fair point.
How do you expect these guys to actually do what they do for 30 days without taking something? That's why I defend Lance Armstrong. I defend him. If the guy had won only one Tour de France, no one would have said anything. Just because he beat all the French at their game, everyone wanted to have his head.
And they were all doing it.
But wait a minute. You can ride a bike without drugs.
No, but they were all blood doping.
No, but I agree with the football thing. To bash your body every 7 days the way these guys do,
right?
There is no way to do that without having stuff, yeah, whether you're talking about painkillers, uppers, downers.
There's differences there.
But to ride a freaking bike,
no, but
you might be slower, but if everybody else is slower, then it's a fair race.
Yeah, but you also should be using the things that are allowed for those.
No, I know, but I think that's a little bit – there's a That's a different argument.
No,
there's no reason you need to take drugs to ride a bike.
If you're making an ethical argument about what's right and wrong, and obviously you can't make an argument for condoning cheating.
And you can argue that, you know, pain relievers are performance enhancers because it allows the guy to get through the pain to perform.
Right.
But
those are
allowable. I think the comparison to Lance Armstrong is nothing.
But
ride a bike.
But where it is exactly the same is in what we talked about, opening that Pandora's box, the arms race type thing. If that guy's doing it, I have to do it.
Yeah, I agree that, but they could all do it without the drugs. In the NFL, I also agree with the fact they couldn't all
do it. There's a lot of people that don't think you could really play a reasonable game.
You wouldn't have 45 guys every week.
Without something.
Yeah, you wouldn't have 45 guys to compete every week.
But there's legal. Yeah. Like, to Eric's point, that something doesn't have to be illegal.
But more than that.
Yeah, you can't take an aspirin. Most of it has to be illegal or at the very least misused.
Well,
overused.
Yeah, it's misused. I mean, like, Favre is an example of
I mean, Nick Kasher. Yeah. Nick Kasher here clearly had some sort of an issue when he got caught coming back across the border.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, I mean, I'm guessing that's everybody. Right. I mean, I told you there was a story with Freddie Boom Boom McCrary, the fullback, talking about how he was getting shot up every week. And it wasn't clear whether it was here or elsewhere, but they called him the Patriots, you know, Super Bowl winning fullback. But across the league, Ray Lucas was addicted. You know, all these guys, it's a problem because they have to get their bodies through what is a war, what is a beatdown every week.
Yeah.
Lance Armstrong didn't do that. He went up a hill and down a hill.
I disagree with you, Andy, because you can't compare, obviously, cyclism with football. I agree with you. But the competition is 30 days. The amount of effort they have to do on a daily basis to go through the racing track or whatever it is, it demands, it has such a huge toll on your body that you got to take something to be able to take your bike and do the same thing the next day.
Yeah, I don't agree.
But,
wait a minute.
It's not a physical.
You may be slow.
No, but isn't it about an endurance? Isn't it like blood doping so you have like more capacity?
Yes.
So it's not necessarily about, I mean, I'm sure it's all
It's about being
hand
better.
In hand. Yes,
whereas about
that's what I think.
Football, it's about getting out of bed.
Yeah.
I think these guys that train for this, it's hard. I'm not saying the Tour de France is easy.
No,
I think
it's ridiculously hard.
But you could do it at a slower pace and less people could do it.
Yeah.
But you could do it. I think these guys, have trouble getting out of bed. Never mind competing every Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. All I'm trying to say about the Tour de France is that, you know, if they didn't take any drugs, instead of doing this in 30 days, they'd do it in 3 months.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
Right. But you could do it. Whereas if you didn't take any drugs, I think you'd lose half your personnel in the NFL. You wouldn't have people on the field every Sunday.
Yeah,
and don't get me wrong, I think you've listened enough, Olivier, to know that I think that drugs are rampant in all sports at all levels.
Of course.
So I'm not saying that, like, you know, they're all doing it. And the sports world we know and love is drug-fueled.
Mm-hmm.
That's unless you want to be naive, that's the way it is.
Without chemicals, life itself would be impossible.
Yeah, same thing with us in Viagra. You know, I understand.
Not there yet, thank goodness.
Speak for yourself, Olivier.
All right, Olivier.
Although NFL players are, that's the latest thing that they're taking.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for the waffles. All right.
Bye.
All right.
Did you see that, Fred? Viagra is also a popular drug, apparently, these days in NFL circles.
Oh, was that
a
right?
Masking agent?
No, because of what it actually, it opens up the blood flow or something to improve blood flow everywhere. Not
yeah, but
there.
With those tight pants, that
can
be
you
embarrassing.
Can you stop? I knew you were. I'm trying to be serious.
Oh, for once in his life. No, it opens up the blood flow.
He doesn't like it when you do it to him.
Yeah, right.
He's trying to have a serious football discussion. You just want to talk penis.
Let's go to one of...
What else? I mean, how does it not affect that area, too?
Well, you don't get excited.
Yeah.
You might. On a field with 22 men.
The center might, but other than that...
And I'm sure some guys could. Like, not while you're actually playing, but, you know, like, you're on the bench and, I don't know, something rubs a little the wrong way.
You catch a glimpse of somebody.
A cheerleader? No, a cheerleader comes by. I think it would probably be easier.
Well,
But the pants also restrict
stimulants on the field.
If you wear a
stimulants
jock
on the
strap,
field.
It's kind of hugging everything in and keeping it. But you are more, I would say, more susceptible to being aroused, probably. Yes. And 4-hour erection, you're screwed. Coach,
right.
I can't go in right now.
But the good news is all you have to do is go up to the sideline and say, hey, Doc, you know, it's been 4 hours.
The wide receivers out there, you're offside, sir.
Lining up in the
neutral zone infraction.
Good stuff, good stuff. Let's go to one of our celebrity listeners, Pauly in L.A. Hey, Pauly, how you doing?
Hey, Pauly.
I think it's really funny that Andy gets very serious when he's talking about hard-ons.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Notice that? We all had to step aside.
Yeah.
So we could talk penis. Yep.
He's passionate about penises.
No, I'm not. hate you all. I hate you too.
Hey,
you're 3,000 miles away, and you're a part of this group. I hate you all.
Paulie, Andy's just jealous because you got to hug Patrick Willis, and he didn't. That's all.
Yep, and I didn't need Viagra.
Did you hump his leg?
Like a madman. It was very, a lot of friction. Hey,
how big is he? No, not there.
Mark tape.
I mean, in terms of...
Good night.
Thanks for being my straight man.
He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it when you do it to him.
Like how big is his like shoulders, arms?
Yeah.
Muscles, like that
physique. Is he impressively, or does he just kind of fit in with the rest of the team?
No, his arms are impressive. It was like you could see how, holding the ball high and tight, or however these guys really carry the ball with that much strength, where there's like, you know, Brandon Spikes and those guys trying to knock it out of there. You can see why, you know, he is who he is, because his muscles, his arms were huge. His biceps were gigantic.
Right.
And there's a picture of him in Sports Illustrated, and you can see he's got his arms like raised up over his head like he's doing the old school flex. And they're huge. They were gigantic.
He also plays in the Bay Area, and we know what that's known for.
Oh, Balco!
Wow.
I'm just saying.
I was calling because I really think you guys should do a color commentary game. I think it would be so much fun just online, and maybe like even if it's a preseason or like one game here. You could even do it for charity. Just like the three of you sitting there listening to you guys talk about the game would be so much fun.
I think
it would be great.
You know what? You know the way we could do it is, you know, there are rules about doing something that competes with the broadcast, even in a team.
I don't think we'd be competing with the broadcast.
We actually watch the game and comment. We record the whole thing while we're watching. We do, you know, the live commentary.
Download it as a podcast?
Afterwards, we make sure the sync is you know, absolutely perfect. Then we allow people to download it as a podcast so they can rewatch the game, but now this time with our commentary.
I would do that in a second. If there was one game a year where you guys could do that, I think that would be, or even if like, you know, knock on wood, it was a more unique game, which happens towards the end of the year, that would be much fun.
Yeah. It's okay. I'll take it under advisement.
Now, but we'd have to do it live. No, they don't have to watch it live because we'd have to record it live.
Yeah.
It has to be organic.
That's what I said. We would do it live. While we're watching, we're recording what we're saying, and then afterwards we take that recording and sync it back up with the actual game so when people download it, everything makes sense.
Okay.
You know?
Brilliant.
Okay, Paulie.
Take care, guys.
All right, thanks.
Hug Willis for me.
For people who don't know, Paulie is the guy in that Visa commercial in the 49ers locker room. That's our Paulie.
The pregame speech.
Paulie was right here in this studio, and then we saw him on TV.
Oh, Paulie. Won't be seeing him no more.
And, you know, I'm still waiting for Matt Damon and Ben Affleck to send us their 8x10s because I know they have them. And, Paulie, you need to send us yours, too, because we're going to put it up next to Mary McCormick's. So,
won't really measure up, but,
well, you know. You're really hot on her. I don't think she's that great.
I don't either. Yeah. I liked her a lot in Howard Stern's. I thought she looked hot in that.
I think that's a very good picture of her.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Because on the show, she didn't look that good.
No.
Yeah, well, she got pregnant and everything, and you know what that does.
But isn't that supposed to make women glow?
Only to their husband. I don't think pregnant women should go out in public, personally.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord.
What is this, India?
And never mind the breastfeeding.
Well, if I'm attached, it's okay. Let's
Fred, ever been on a Fred plane 1950s with a woman
breastfeeding? Let's go to Chester in Oregon.
Good
hey,
for
Chester.
Morale.
Oh, my God, Fred. If you don't think the email is working, you're sure going to find out. Have fun with that flooding. Hey, guys, how's it going, by the way? Where's the Dolphins talk today? I mean, this show is hilarious. I'm loving it. And I loved yesterday, by the way, boys. Good job with that. I couldn't get on the air, but... nice work. You guys had your hands full with callers anyway. But I'm wondering, without this Dolphins talk this week, it's a Thursday show. You know, are we mailing this one in a little bit? I mean,
yep.
You know, I know we're getting bigger on our britches again, but 2 to 3 weeks ago, we were ruling out blowouts here and saying, oh, from here on out, you know, we're going to play this one like it's a close game, and I'm going to call some bullets. You know, we're working on a long week. I want to make sure our guys are sharp, you know, fast, furious with intensity like we've been looking from the beginning of the year, but
I'm sensing trap, and it's kind of freaking me out a little bit.
Yeah, you make a good point, Chester. You're making a good point.
Well, I'll freak you out even more. Since 2001, the Patriots are 41-5 in December. Three of the five losses are December games in Miami.
Tom Brady, 0-3 all time in December in Miami.
That. They're 41-2 in December, unless you add in the Dolphins. Three more losses.
He's horrible against Miami. I've learned that over the years with fantasy. The benches, every time he plays Miami, I mean, it's just, he kills me.
Whoa, so you're benching him this week?
Yeah, let's pump the brakes on his.
I wouldn't bench him this week.
It's been a while.
I mean, this year seems to be kind of a renaissance of the older days here. But, as far as my thoughts for this week, and real quick, let's dedicate the last portion of the show to the Dolphins. You know, we're running out of time before the pick. I hate to be playing producer, but.
You know what? You're doing a better job.
Hey, glad to help. But as far as my points this week, I think we see Hernandez and Woody get back to form. I'm thinking misdirection is going to be our play, given the staunch run D. As far as Edelman goes, you know, we're pleasantly surprised to see him back on the field. But if we didn't play on a Thursday, boys, we wouldn't be seeing him on the field. I think that played to our advantage this week. I just hope we come out fast and furious this week. I feel like we're a little complacent on the fan side of things. And I think we may have our hands full unless we get up early again. Look for that defense to keep that edge and that attitude. I just think there's a change of culture there. And that's all I got, boys. Have a good weekend. I'm out.
Okay, Chester. Chester makes a good point, not just on this show, but I think people are not the Patriots, obviously, but I think fans are taking Miami a little too lightly. And as you just pointed out, Andy, with that statistic, Miami gives them trouble.
But I'll give you another statistic.
But it's been a while since they have.
Plus 24, minus 10 turnover ratio.
Yeah,
Patriots are plus 24, Dolphins are minus 10.
And how many of those losses in December to the Dolphins came in games when New England was going to be clinching the division? I don't think any. That means something.
Well,
they're not going to lose.
09 might have been. They might have had a chance to clinch the division then. But 04, 06, 09 were those losses. The last four, the Patriots have won anywhere against Miami and by an average of 19 points. So it's been a while.
I don't see it either.
I mean, I'm not sold on Tannehill. I am not sold on their pass defense. I don't see the hiccup coming. I just don't. And maybe I'm going to say, I didn't see the hiccup coming next week, but I don't feel it. It's not in me. Although he's right. I was the guy a few weeks ago who said, I'm never picking blowouts again.
I'm not doing it this time.
I am.
Janine says, I can't believe you just said that, Fred. Here come the emails.
Is she a nuke? I don't remember the Janine.
When you say stuff like pregnant women shouldn't be allowed to leave their homes, you end up hearing from people you haven't heard from before.
I like pregnant women. You know why? Things I'm passionate about, they swell up.
Unbelievable.
He's unbelievable.
Penis?
No, breasts.
Oh, why? Well, you said
women don't have penises, Paul. Most of them.
You just said things you were passionate about.
Breasts. I'm on the record. I like breasts.
Penis.
And they swell up when they're prego. You got to get that fine line, though, when they swell up before they really pop with the bump, so you kind of can pretend they're just a girl with big boobs, and then they reach that point where they're really pregnant, and I'm kind of...
All right.
It really is like we just circled back to, like, 1958.
Ed writes it.
Pimp real quick Aaron Hernandez interview for our TV show this week.
Oh, okay.
He brought up Woodhead and Hernandez could break out.
How'd it come out?
It was okay. Not great. Tried to loosen him up. He didn't really loosen up.
Really?
I thought it was bad news when he came over.
Did he rub his leg?
No. But he came over. He goes, how long is this going to take? And I was like, that's not a good start.
That's not fair when they do that.
And I said, 5 minutes. But we ended awkwardly.
It would be longer if you don't act right.
No, I don't say stuff like that. Oh. We ended with an awkward. My new thing is to end them with something silly that I know that they'll probably edit out when they actually edit it for TV. But this week we ended with, I said, you know, I like to end it with something personal for the player. So can we make it rain? So we both made it rain.
He did that?
And he played along?
Oh, yeah, he did it and okay. I did it. Okay. It was hard for me, though. I was trying to hold the microphone and make it rain at the same time. So it was...
So it looked like you were.
And then Moose, our camera.
The microphone.
Possibly.
It's always on his mind.
And Moose, our cameraman, was like, looked like you were making it rain with like ones and fives. And I was like, yeah, what would you make it rain? Apparently they make it rain with like hundreds. Ooh. Hernandez joked. Like,
jeez.
Can you imagine
maybe
that?
He wasn't joking.
No, I don't think he was. Like, he was joking with me, but, and I joked,
I'd sit on his lap for that.
Well, what I was thinking is, you're really going to fling.
You know Andy would.
$100 bills?
For less than that.
If you're flinging $100 bills, shouldn't you just flat out be going to one of those high-class prostitutes?
Right.
Not like sitting on a stage looking at a naked boob. Oh, sweet. $1,000 and I looked at a boob.
Right.
Like, I want something for it if I'm paying hundreds.
Okay. Ed writes in.
I'm not a, you know, an expert on the subject, but I think when they make it rain to that extent, they're getting a little something more than just looking at boobs.
Okay.
I think they're going to the champagne room.
Like the girl in Texas told us? A little head.
Ed
propositioned.
Ed writes in, do you think the Patriots...
Did you go somewhere at the Super Bowl? I didn't.
This year?
Yeah, we didn't go anywhere.
Making jokes about when you were young. Just,
no, we did in Houston.
Yeah, that's all.
Well, see, the problem this year is Indy, I'm guessing, doesn't have the highest quality.
Don't harumph us.
Doesn't have the highest quality on a normal basis. And in Super Bowls, they fly in talent from Vegas and other places.
Correct.
But when they fly them in, the cost of everything goes up. The cover charge goes from, like, whatever to $50 or something ridiculous. And we were lucky in Houston.
We went early.
We hit it early in the week when the talent was still good, but the cost was still low before it got crazy. I don't think we could have afforded it in Indy, because when the talent actually arrived, we couldn't afford the price. Because they flew in the talent, let's be honest. There's not a lot of talent in Indy, I'm sure.
This is
no offense to Indy.
It was a wonderful host.
Yes, but, I mean, I don't think they're known for their strip clubs. Although it is a...
That was like Reggie Bush
over here.
It's
a little Bible Belt-ish.
They might not
have a lot of it.
But it's also a convention town, so they probably have to... You know, there's a lot of businessmen coming
through.
In. And there is that strip club right down the street, not far from the center of town. Did you go? A lot of talent?
Walked by the, it was right next to the stadium.
Yeah.
The Red Garter.
Did you go in?
Took a picture of it.
You didn't go in? You didn't go in? So you didn't see the talent?
I have a picture of you going in, so.
It was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
So?
Weird to go at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I've never been, but I'm sure some people do. I'm
sure the Patriots were there.
Show up for the free lunch buffet. I'm sure the spread's good.
Legs and eggs.
Ed in the same camp as Chester. He's worried about the Patriots phoning this one in. So I'll just mention that one.
They're mailing it in.
Peter writes in.
He emailed it in.
What if they texted in? Tweeted in.
Peter has a mammoth email. I can't read
Peter it. Has a mammoth.
What if they posted on Facebook it in?
Peter in Melbourne. I know it
can't
came
you summarize
all the way from Australia.
Summarize
he
it.
He says, hey, guys, an e-slice.
Okay, don't read it.
That's you.
It's another one of Eric's fault. Guys. Kind of like Brooklyn Matt.
Yeah, it's too long.
Peter's is too long?
Yep.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Mike, on his mind.
Mike Lytle writes in to say that everyone in
Enterrises
is listening right now.
Oops.
So I think we lost that
lunch was delicious.
Yes. And
I'd like to tell you that our shows aren't usually this sophomoric, but they are.
We're sorry for all the women we've offended with the pregnancy and stripper talk.
That was Fred.
Frank in upstate New York. Exactly how many plays do we have now where we use a deep threat? Not too much of a Lloyd lover either, but...
We don't have a deep threat.
Is it a speed issue or a playbook issue?
Speed.
With the number of misses, not there were a lot, on Brady's part for the deep pass, it also looks like it is not a popular play in practice. Is this a case now where the short middle of the field is money with the crappy restrictions on defenses, therefore eliminating the use of lower percentage completion passes for the nickel and dime screens with a higher completion rate? Curious on this stat, since 2007, how much of an increase by year has there been on yards after the catch for the Patriots offense?
17%.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the numbers. But to me, it would be someone talk to us about yards at catch.
Yes.
Right. That to me would be the more relevant change because
well,
yards
certainly.
At. I mean, you could throw the ball 50 yards and still get 35 yards after the catch on a bomb.
Well,
you know, so it's still West a good
Welker
number.
Had a 99-yard touchdown that was 85. After the catch.
Right. You can get long passes that have a lot of yards after the catch. I want to know how long the passes are.
And in terms of the playbook, we know during training camp, they practice the long pass.
Yeah, and that was my first warning sign with Brandon. That's what Andy alluded to earlier.
Have you ever looked at him and said he looks fast?
Brandon Lloyd did not consistently get open in training camp on deep balls.
He is little, but little guys can look fast. He doesn't look fast.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he runs a 4-4 or 4, whatever. I just have never looked at him and said, wow, he's...
Well, looking
McCourty,
fast,
I look at him sometimes and say, wow, he's flying.
Looking fast and being fast aren't necessarily the same thing.
Well, yeah, I would actually say he looks fast because he wears the spandex with, like a fast guy would do, a sprinter.
Yeah.
Except I never see him blow by anybody.
Yeah, and I also
agree with Moss never really looked fast, but you knew he was fast because he would
got
separate
behind people.
Because because he was behind the guy that covered him.
He was
by
a long
five
strider.
Yards in practice every day.
He was like a gazelle.
You know that one year that he practiced.
Yes.
but I do agree with the emailer. I think they figured out that. I don't know why. I don't know if it's rules or whatever, but that's money. Over the middle, people can't stop that.
Well, that's like
with
that's
very
that
few
thing
exceptions.
With Bill. They're afraid, the defenders are afraid to
be there more than the receivers are.
Yeah.
And they're going to get fined.
I think
get flagged.
Between the tight ends down the seams and Welker crossing, that's money for them. And
think
I think
about
they stick with it.
If you see a guy crossing at 12 yards, well, if I tackle him, it's a 12-yard gain. If I hit him, it's a 27-yard gain because I add on 15 yards for that. You know, that's what Bill was referencing is sort of that mentality. They're afraid to hit people. The old days of, you know, make them regret going across the middle, those are gone.
Well, you could do that. And you could definitely dissuade guys from
did.
Doing that.
Who was the guy that I was telling you about?
Welker's the guy that I don't think you can do that to, though.
Remember the highlight of Lynn Swann running?
And George Atkinson just clotheslined.
Lynn... like he's like,
I know
cover
exactly
my
the
guy,
play you're talking
or
about.
Close. You know, he sent a message, is what he was doing. You can't send messages anymore on any
Knocked
level.
Knocked him out of the game with a concussion on a play like that. The ball wasn't even thrown to him, and I'll bet it didn't even draw a flag.
No, it definitely. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's the extreme the other way, but it's totally swung back towards protection.
Right. I know. Let's see. Tim writes, and we were talking about French fries earlier. He says he's not a fan of Five Guys fries, but I'd fight Paul to the death for one of their burgers.
You don't like their fries?
What? No, I'd give that well, up to you in a second.
I like both. I mean, their burgers are phenomenal.
Oh, I love their fries.
But yeah, their fries
they
are
come right from the Idaho potatoes.
I like Five Guys. Yeah.
They have the sign where the
Andy loves
yeah, the
fries.
Town
fries
where it came from.
Yeah, those are delicious.
Especially Five Guys hot dogs.
Oh.
They do.
When
though?
Did
they
I become the
dogs.
Butt of the gay jokes on this show? That was Eric's role.
Wait a minute. That's not my role.
No, you've earned it. Andy.
Yes, you have.
Okay. It's now you.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
You always do.
Unlike Eric, I will do it for the good of the show.
You're like Mike Tomlin. We own that. We
right.
own it.
We own it. I own it.
It's
if
a terrible
I'm the,
performance.
If I'm the,
we
know,
own
the,
it.
The funny gay guy on the show? Okay.
Jonathan in Florida says, Fred, I wanted to ask you regarding the Thanksgiving game. If you think things would have ended better for Sanchez if he had gone into his guard moist instead of dry, does the Sanchez have trouble with hardness, and would Tebow have been hard enough to power through the lineman's backside in Wilford?
Well done. Well done.
Very good. Good stuff.
I think we're going to have those for years. Like 3 years, you know. Remember that time when Sanchez hit more in the ad? Like,
oh, that's going to be
it's never going to get old.
Pardon the pun, but NFL annals,
if Sanchez doesn't turn his career around and he ends up kind of the way he is now, that will be the iconic moment of his career.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
I think
when they do
going
the version of the Brady 6
yeah.
in like 10 years with who, I don't even know who the quarterback. Did any quarterback come out of that class? That was
what
any good. I don't even know.
Is fourth year?
That'll be, you know, who's the guy that was Giovanni Carmarzia is out in semi-seclusion
raising
in like Northern California or something?
Goat farm?
They'll go to Sanchez and that'll be the whole play. You know, he went to two AFC title games and 2 years later ran into the back of a stationary guard and lost the ball.
Right.
Do you want an update from practice, Fred?
Oh, yeah.
He's been here like an hour. Apparently he didn't have any breaking news.
I kind of forgot. That's why you. That's where you were.
That's okay. Yeah. No, we had some good callers and emails. That's fine. Good news to report.
Yeah.
For your offensive line, Dan Connolly and Sebastian Vollmer were both back.
Yay!
Not the kind of good news I was looking for. You got more good news?
No.
Because unless it's Chandler Jones, you don't have the good news I was looking for.
No. I said good news for your offensive line.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the offensive line. Okay. Dante's got that under control.
All right.
Worried about the defensive line. Defensive ends in particular.
No sign of
no Chandler Jones.
No sign of Mankins.
No sign of Mankins.
I'm used to playing without him by now, but the Jones one is concerning.
Yeah. More concerning than it looked.
That's one of those factors that if there's an upset, you'll say, oh, well, you know, he ran around a little bit. You didn't have the control pressure. You missed Chandler Jones, Beckett, or, you know, Trevor Scott wasn't quite ready to be. Because that's a matchup with Jake Long, who's considered one of the best tackles in football.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it's Ninkovich, which is what they've done a lot of moving over there. Okay, well, who's the guy on the other side now?
Yeah.
You know, I don't foresee the upset, but you can see some factors that could lead towards the upset.
I want him back. I don't think it's that important, though. I do.
Wow.
I don't.
Okay.
Andy one extreme to the other. This guy.
No, I'm not poo-poo. I want him back. I think Andy's right. I think he's one guy that can
according to his guy,
pressure.
Greg Bedard, he was neck and neck with Jason Pierre-Paul for the midseason defensive end all-pro team.
Oh, we have one of those guys
that's
we need
where
to look
I go.
For in
I'm
the draft
little...
this year.
JPP?
Where's he from? Nebraska, I think. Ansa? He might be the Ansa for the Patriots at defensive end. No, seriously, he's a Ghanaian national.
Is that how you say it?
Yes.
I bet you I'll say that a few different ways.
And he was originally a basketball player, but because his physique was so big, he walked on. Oh, it was BYU. I'm sorry, BYU. He walked on and...
He's a Mormon?
I didn't get to be.
You don't have to be. No. You don't have to be. But he
could be a Lessman.
Oh yeah, yeah. Less.
Oh wait, you just said he could be the answer or whatever. You poo-poo him for that?
But anyway, he's like 6'6", 250, I think, something like that, and he's being compared to JPP. So there's a guy we have to look forward to when we do our draft prep.
I think I'm going to get sick of this JPP comparison at some point.
Scott writes in. He says, just catching up on the podcast, I like the headline for the paper. All I had was Sanchez takes it up the rear. it's the other way around more. Fred, I'm no tech guy, but I think I know what that annoying noise that everyone complains about in the background is. It's Escal. I have to say I enjoyed Wednesday's show. However, we did miss Fred, not because of his quality analysis. It was because there was no one for Andy and Paul to argue with.
Absolutely.
Looking at the Miami game, who do you fear the most out of these? And he has some couple pairings. Who do you fear the most out of these, Tannehill or Bush?
Bush.
Bess or Hartline?
Bess. Hartline.
Dansby or Wake?
Wake.
Clemens or Jones?
Don't know who either one is.
The safeties. Clemens.
And finally, B-Low or Escal?
Who do I fear the most?
Yeah.
Neither.
Yeah.
That's not an option.
Which is most likely to come back with a gun and a list?
Eric. Escal. Okay. Sorry.
Definitely so Eric.
There's your answer.
Yes. 100%.
Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. Scott in UK. P.S. Why don't Brooklyn Matt and Eric just get it on already? Man love.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to defend Eric. I'm not sure Eric wants to get it on.
No.
I'm pretty sure Brooklyn Matt wants to.
Possibly.
And I'm pretty sure he could kidnap Eric and take advantage of him. That, I mean, I have to give Eric credit on this one. He has never really, aside from trying to meet him at the World Trade Center, he's never really lured him on. So this is a one-sided lust.
All right.
Yeah. So just can we talk a little bit about those matchups you guys talked? The one that we all, I think, agreed on everything except for Bess
you
and,
said
and
Hartline. Yeah.
And the reason I think is I think Bess will be the target of Belichick's plan. And Hartline might
he's the guy that
pop
benefits
open
from that.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. We got Devin McCourty at safety now. What are the chances?
So we're not
involved in Bess.
So who do you think covers Hartline? Excuse me, who do you think covers Bess? If he's going to be their target, you put Tlaib on
Bess?
Well,
it's not necessarily one guy. It's how they figured out Fitzgerald, you know.
Yeah, I think they'll bracket him. I think it'll be like Arrington and a safety, probably Arrington and McCourty.
Yeah.
And I think outside, you might find some opportunities to get Hartline. Especially if, you know, coming to JPP can't play and you get no pressure on the quarterback.
So you don't like your chances with Tlaib on Hartline?
No. I haven't seen really I know this is not popular, but I haven't seen really a whole lot of change in the secondary in the last 2 weeks. They cause a million turnovers, and when they do, they stop the other team. When they don't, the other team scores.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Quickly, guys, because we have to do picks today. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Good.
I always love your show as usual.
Thank you.
We love you, Eldridge.
Yeah, but I'm like Andy. I ain't seen that much besides the turnovers in the secondary. That much of a change from when they stopped them. But I wish they'd get a little bit closer. And according to the couple emails above, that was above about the deep threat, I don't think they want any. After Moss and that little thing they had with Moss, I don't think they want another one. But we need one.
Well,
that's all I have for that one.
Well, I don't think they need one because they're pretty damn good. But
yeah,
I'm not
pretty good, but
I'm also not sure they don't want one. I think they thought Lloyd was going to be more of a deep threat than he's been. I mean, what is he averaging? Like 8.6 a reception or something?
Yeah, like
something ridiculous.
Ridiculous, and he keep dropping, and he can't outrun no secondary that I've seen. Like,
well, that's the biggest thing. I've never seen the speed.
Me either.
I've never seen him blow by people.
Yeah, I heard they re-signed Jeremy Ebert.
Yes, for the practice squad.
Is they going to use him just to mingle with Bess or Hartline, or are they going to use him later on? Anybody got an idea?
Well, they're not going to use him at all. Yeah. He's on the practice squad.
Yeah, well, that's why he said, are they going to use him to mimic Bess or
Could
Hartline?
Could be.
So I guess either Stallworth or Gaffney still hurt, so they ain't trying to think about talking to them at all then, right?
Well, Stallworth worked out.
They worked out Stallworth and clearly decided they didn't want him. He wasn't in enough. I mean, he's done nothing all year. He's been out of football since leaving here. And Gaffney is out there, but he has a 2-game suspension.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many guys they want to collect
two
on suspension.
I don't know what the record is.
We don't want to be four.
I still say that's wrong. You should not get a roster exemption for a guy in suspension.
I totally agree.
He should count against your roster. Yeah. That would keep teams.
Yeah. That would
there's probably some NFLPA thing, though, that you have to get him in there to let him work out or whatever, and I don't know.
No, you're probably right, because you probably have to have 53 players that are eligible
that
to play every game.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And I agree with Andy.
That's not right.
I totally agree with
Andy.
What's
the point of the suspension, then?
What's the
deterrent? You don't hurt the team. Yeah. The team can collect 8 million steroid users and just try to stagger all their suspensions.
There's no repercussion for going out and getting a quote-unquote bad guy.
It's kind of like a few years ago. Didn't they say in the heart of all the off-field problems that they were going to start teams were going to be held responsible, like the Bengals,
remember,
teams like that.
And us as well, like team personnel. Remember that whole thing? It wasn't just the players. It was organizations. Everybody was going to be held to a higher standard.
Well, when you drive through a drive-thru naked and drunk, you should be held to a standard.
These things happen, Andy. Who hasn't?
I've never driven naked.
I've been in my PJs.
Well, what do you mean by PJs?
Well, you know, like those flannel bottoms.
Always.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
I go to the convenience store all the time with pajama bottoms.
They don't get out of your car?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Wait, I do too. I don't know why you're laughing. Well, that's
absolutely.
Also why
I
not like
see Paul walking through the CVS in his pajama bottoms and slippers.
His footy pajamas.
Yeah, but it's not like I have.
I think they call them lounge pants now.
Absolutely,
like lounging around.
Yeah,
they're like a half a step below sweatpants.
They're black. They're plain. The pants that I wear in the winter
are they
plain
silk?
Black. No,
mine are plaid.
They're like a
mine are like red and black and plaid
like a fleece kind of.
I wear those in my rubber bottom slippers.
Yeah, I have a pair like that are plaid. They're blue.
You
blue
just
plaid.
Care for somebody who goes. Who asked you about the lesbian car?
But
you care what kind of
pajama pants. The
funniest
thing is he doesn't care what he looks like when he comes to work. But he can't go to the convenience store in pajamas.
Might see Scott Brown there. Where was that? Who was the discussion with about Scott Brown getting a pension?
Oh, that was us.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
At your cubicle.
Deidre was reading something off Facebook about how, you know, this whole law should not be made for this 28th Amendment. The senators can't make laws that apply to the public but not them, or laws that apply to them and not the public.
Mm-hmm.
And senators, even if you have one term, you get a full pension when you reach retirement age.
And he didn't have
absurd.
A full term. He only had 2 years.
I'm sure he gets it, though.
Absolutely absurd.
A full pension?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's why this country's going down the pooper.
Let's go to Matt in Oregon on the A-Stickin' Hotline. Hey, Matt.
Hey, who wins in a fight, B-Lo or Eastgale?
B-Lo. He's got the height advantage.
B-Lo's got the reach.
Yeah, he's punching down.
He's a little soft, though.
Eric's wiry, though.
He is
and
wiry.
And we do know that Eric is 1-0 career.
But you know B-Lo, B-Lo's relentless. If he fights like he talks, it'll just go on and on forever, and sooner or later, Eric will just be dead.
No, we'll just talk each other to death. That's all.
B-Lo will be talking trash, and Eric will be correcting the pronunciation.
Right. You know that thing how like the Africans, or, like thousands of years ago, how they hunted lions was they'd follow them until they ran out of gas, because lions can't last as long in the desert or whatever. That's how B-Lo would beat you. Just
Andy really is that guy that knows just a little bit about everything, but not
hot dogs and sausages.
Not enough about any of it.
If you run,
to be intelligent.
Ah, screw you.
You know, that's a great B-Lo, you know, soundbite that we haven't heard in a long time. Is the old school make sure you tell your friends.
But oh, yeah.
With go F yourself. And, I don't know whatever happened to that one. That was a good one.
Yeah,
but
I don't
anyway,
know
if I
picked
that
up.
Quick. I know you guys got to get to your picks, so I'll make this quick. I got a few bombs to lob here, and then I'll get off the line. First one, Jeff in Vegas, that is the fakest Boston accent I've ever heard in my entire life. He's a cool guy. You know, I like what he brings to the show, but come on, the Hawaii thing has got to go.
But it's kind of his shtick. It can't go now.
Yeah, it needs to go. Kevin, you need more sound bites, buddy. You need to go back in time and listen to some old shows with Gary. He was the soundbite ninja. He didn't interrupt the conversation. He added to it.
Problem was Gary had people that worked for him.
No, Gary did it.
Unbelievable.
That is patently false.
Oh, my God.
Wait, he wasn't even there then.
He was a one-man show.
Because nobody,
Jason,
Matt, nobody works harder.
Two gender, take your pick.
Nobody works
they
harder
all
than Kevin. They all replaced Gary. When
Andy
Gary got let go.
He was there the whole time, right?
He didn't have Paul Prose.
Now, that's true. He did play solitaire the whole time.
Yes, he did.
So he was the
he multitasked.
He was still wild playing solitaire. Yeah. But anyway, lastly, the real reason I called, Ken Flanders. Ken Flanders.
You've reached the desk of Ken Flanders.
A snack.
Somebody's got to get him in line. Have you guys been on the online pro shop?
Flanders is the only useless person here.
No, I have not. What's
Why?
The
What's
problem?
What's going on?
The selection is I mean, so minimal. You know, I mean, we're talking, it's Christmas season now. There should be all kinds of stuff to choose from. And I went on looking for a jersey or a sweatshirt or something for my aunt for Christmas. And, you know, like the female jerseys, you got your choice between Brady, Gronk, and Welker, and that's it.
Well, that's a Nike thing.
Yeah, I know that they've had issues with the supply from Nike, and Nike's difficult to deal with and much different than dealing with Reebok.
It'll be better next year.
Yeah, it's the length of time it takes to get stuff is not really – it's as much as I'd like to rip Flanders for this show, I think it's more of an issue with Nike.
Okay. All right. Well, because my other big thing was – you know, you guys about you know grown men wearing other men's jerseys earlier in the week, and I agree with you guys that it's you know it's a little weird to wear another guy's jersey you know as a grown man and you know but the way that I always look at it is if you're wearing like a past player's jersey or someone that you know like I would wear a Troy Brown jersey you know what I mean I would you know like, or I would wear a Drew Bledsoe jersey and what I was looking for was a Kevin Falk jersey he had just retired. And I thought that'd be a good one, you know?
Why, they don't have and, that? Oh, well, that part of the
you
problem.
You cannot get Kevin Falk.
That's another problem, though, I think, with the crossover from Reebok to Nike. And
right.
I think it's a bad era right now
what
because
if you,
of the transition.
What if you customized and made
well,
it?
Well, but then you're talking a major, you know.
It's an investment.
You're
I
talking
know.
Like
no,
$250, $300, whatever that
I
was.
I know, but I mean, yeah. If you really, really, really wanted it, you could get it.
Or if I
don't want it that bad.
Well, I would just go on eBay or something. I'm sure there's old Reebok ones out there. Or go to a Reebok factory outlet or something.
Maybe he wants to support Nike.
Yeah, there's a shady site out of China that...
they
like,
all
they
are...
They don't even send you a packing slip. The jerseys are like $18. And you know, they can't guarantee a shipping date and all this kind of stuff. But I didn't want to do that. You know, I wanted to go through the official
I hear
website.
That.
You're
yep.
right.
Yep.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you're right near Nike. Go up there and complain to them.
Yeah, well, I'm actually not in Oregon anymore. I'm at Maine now. We've moved across the country.
Jesus.
Oh, you went
so
from one corner to the other.
Moose?
Yeah.
What's that?
You're hunting moose in Maine?
Well, I can't get a hunting license until next year because we just moved here, but you're damn right.
Just go out and shoot it. Who's going to get
it? Moose are no fair. How can you shoot a moose? They're so slow. It's not even a sport.
Well, aren't they the same as elk,
no,
basically?
They're like elk. They're pretty quick when they get moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. All right. We got to do picks. Thanks for the call.
Anyway, yeah, go ahead. Good to talk to you guys.
All right.
See you, Matt. See
Matt formerly from Oregon, now in Maine.
And stop by sometime.
Reach the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, a short drive
enough.
Down now.
Hey,
well,
Vegas.
Maybe.
All right. It's
apparently he doesn't
here.
like populated areas.
And this week's picks on PFW in Progress are sponsored by Subway Restaurants. Subway, the official training restaurant of the New England Patriots.
Wow.
So
this guy doing
one take read. How about that?
That was good. No stumbling, bumbling, or fumbling.
Now, did I win last week, Paul?
You did not.
What?
You did the opposite.
I think
winning.
Paul did because
He keeps the notebook.
No, Andy. Despite the fact that I keep the notebook, Andy won this week with a 12-4 mark. I went 11-5, which obviously maintains my excellence.
He realized we were kind of on to him, so now
so
he's,
giving right, you, he's right, tossing right. you a bone a little bit.
Yeah. Smart like a fox. Eric and Fred, 9-7. With the spread, Andy and I actually tied at 9-5-2.
Woo!
And Fred went 7-7-2, Eric 6-8-2.
Damn it.
Season standings as follows: 127-48-1 for me, 119-56-1 for Andy, 113-62-1 for Eric, Fred 92-55-1. It's getting to that point where I'm gonna have to start figuring out the percentages because Fred's, you know, total number of games is so much off. With the spread, this is I'm sorry, Andy and I are very impressive with the spread. I'm 92-77-7.
That's very good.
Andy is 89-80-7.
That's
pretty late in the year to be that.
I would argue that's even more impressive than your record because I usually suck.
That's really good against the spread. That's usually where I am.
Those are good numbers.
Shut up.
Fred is 70-70-6, and Eric just lining the pockets of the casinos at 76-93-7.
No, no, we don't.
We never do.
A unit.
I'm going to need a couple of spreads from you, by the way, during the course of the
what do you need here?
The program. I need Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland, Oakland.
All right, let's start with tonight. New Orleans at Atlanta. This
we're gonna egg them on a little bit.
Thursday, 8:20. Network's doing a good job at starting these games around 8:30, so that we don't have to listen to CeeLo for the third time. New Orleans at Atlanta. What's the number?
Atlanta by 3.5.
Atlanta by 3.5 at home.
So did you hear the story, Fred, about that?
Of what?
The Saints arrived in Atlanta and were egged by airport workers.
By airport workers?
Yeah. As they got off the plane, you know, you're on the tarmac, get on the buses like we always do.
Yeah.
Let's not pretend that airport workers are these.
No, but you can get beyond fired for that.
Yeah, I thought it was a little strange.
But you watch these 2020 things, and 9 times out of 10, if you leave something on, like, the x-ray machine, it ends up, like, on eBay in 10 minutes. Like, they're some of the biggest thieves on the planet. Huh? So let's not pretend, and I don't mean to offend all airport workers. I'm sure some of you are very nice people, but I've seen enough of those 2020 things. There's a lot of shady people that work in airports.
Okay. All right. They're throwing produce around, though.
But they clearly were prepared. It's not like you had eggs in your pocket and just like, oh, there they are.
Yeah, so they knew they were going
to
be.
Oh, actually, somebody left a carton of eggs in the x-ray machine. They stole it and decided to throw it at the bus.
I am going to go with Atlanta at home. I don't feel great about the pick. I don't think Atlanta's playing great. New Orleans just hasn't been good. You know, I was talking to Paul, checking out some of their numbers. They've given up like 14 runs of 20 yards or more. Like their defense is just not very good. If they score a lot of points, they're going to win this game. I know that sounds obvious, but I don't have a lot of confidence in the Falcons putting up a lot of points right now. But I'm going with the home team that has done its job and won most of their games.
I'm going with the home team, too, because I think this is a game the Saints could win, and I think they actually did win when they were in New Orleans, right, earlier in the season?
Correct.
And I think the Falcons get a little bit of retribution being at home, and it means a little bit more to them right now because, like Andy said, they haven't been playing very well, and as a 10-1 team, they need to be playing better. They need to show that they are worthy of 10-1.
I mean, on paper, it doesn't look like a very good game, 10-1 versus 5-6.
Yeah, but it's a better game than that.
I don't think this is this has the potential to be a good game, a competitive game.
Yeah, there's not 5 games difference between these two teams in terms of talent.
But Falcons will win. What's the number again?
3.5.
I'll give the Falcons the benefit of the doubt and say they'll win and cover. Not by a lot, though. Maybe 4 or 5 points.
Yeah, I think it'll be a reasonably tough game, too. But I'm going to be with Eric and Andy here. I'm going to take the home team, Atlanta. I think they had the Saints won last week, and they were 6-5 and sort of continuing that little rebound after the 0-4 start. I would be picking them because I think they have something on Atlanta. I think they've beaten something like, I don't know, 4 in a row or – you know, they have a reasonable streak, something, you know, like 12 out of 13 or something like that. But I think Atlanta is going to take care of business at home.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Atlanta, too. I don't like New Orleans. I don't like that team. I don't know why, but I think
Drew Brees' reputation has taken a little bit of a hit through this Spygate thing and his comments. And I don't know. I don't think he's handled it all that well a lot of the time.
Their scandal, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, what did I say?
You said Spygate.
Oh, I meant Bounty Gate.
I just wish they had never won a Super Bowl. I really do.
Why?
I just don't like them.
I actually do, but I don't think they're as good as maybe it looks. I think that's one of those teams that, you know, if Brees were out, you'd see that the talent is not as good as you think it is.
I don't really like the owner.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, Benson, just his look.
Yeah, he's
the hats he wears and
his lady,
friends, and his whole shtick. Like, he was going to move him out of there, and then they had the hurricane, so he couldn't move him, and now he pretends like
he was wanting to stay there all along.
Yeah, like, there's just something very fraudulent about him.
Entirely too much time spent on that game. All right, Jackson.
You started it.
Jacksonville at Buffalo, 1 o'clock Sunday. Jacksonville at Buffalo, big game.
Buffalo by 6.
I will take Buffalo to lose to the Jags on the road.
Really?
Picking with my heart, not my head here. Jordan Todman, Dartmouth's own. Big kick return for a touchdown. It's going to be the difference.
Bills are at home.
What Buffalo's
you said
home
on the road.
Oh, whatever. No, what did I say?
You said.
So you're picking Jacksonville
I'm picking
to win?
Jacksonville to win.
Okay.
Okay. The Jags got their upset last week that they shouldn't have gotten. They're going to lose on the road, Andy.
I don't know who's playing where.
It's in
I was picking
Park.
The Bills until I remembered Todman.
Are you laying the points?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville will win the game. I'll take.
Really?
Yeah, I Buffalo stinks, and I think
Jacksonville's good.
No, I think Jacksonville's the second worst team in football, but it shows you what I think of Buffalo.
Right. So
but again, you're breaking your rule.
But I'm breaking my rule for one specific reason.
Jordan Todman?
No, Chad Henne. I think Buffalo's defense cannot stop a pass, a forward pass. They can't stop it, and unlike Blaine Gabbert, Chad Henne is capable of throwing it from here to there without necessarily falling all over himself, and I think that'll be enough to get a win.
Buffalo wins the game. Seattle.
Wait. Just to reiterate, I want to know: is this the week that Buffalo run starts? Because you told me last week,
this is why he picked Jacksonville. That's exactly why. I know him. He's so transparent.
I just told you why I picked Jacksonville, because Chad Henne can throw.
I'm gonna pick.
He can't do anything else, but he can throw.
Seattle at Chicago Sunday at 1:00. Seattle at Chicago.
Chicago by 3.5.
I will take Chicago to win in cover. Seattle on the road is a bad proposition, whether the sprinklers come on or not. And interesting, Paul, another stat I saw. Highest percentage of points off of turnovers is your Chicago Bears. You know, if they ever stop giving 37% of their points have come off turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, they lead the league in turnovers forced.
Bears are a better team. They're at home. They win by 10.
Yeah, I like Chicago in this one as well. Seattle can't win away from Seattle.
Pete Carroll admitted that he screwed up last week, but
what did he do?
He gave him the whole week.
Gave him the whole week off.
Oh, that was obvious.
Yeah,
tell him if he'd watch PFW TV.
That's why they lost. You know, giving up 17 points in the fourth quarter.
But that Russell Wilson, he is playing. He's on a little bit of a run now. It's kind of scary. But I'm going to go with Chicago.
He's going to be the career tease, ultimate tease.
Indianapolis at Detroit, Sunday at 1:00.
Detroit by 4.5.
What a hay.
I am going to go with Detroit at home. I think they have the more talented team. I think their passing attack will get the job done, and hopefully Sue doesn't kick Luck in the nuts.
They're a disappointingly talented team. They're better than their record would indicate, but they haven't played very well. I'll take them because they're at home.
Yeah, I think that Detroit is a better team. I'll take them as well. I think they've had some tough luck against teams that have been better than them for the most part. This is not one of them. This is a team that they're better than. I think at home they'll win it.
I'm going to go with Detroit as well. Sunday at 1:00, Minnesota at Green Bay.
Green Bay by 9.
Green Bay will win. Green Bay will cover. No. I'm taking the points.
That's the smart move. Green Bay will win, but they won't cover.
Taking advice from the guys in last place.
Yeah, I think Green Bay will
take over your role.
I think Green Bay will win and cover. I think they bounce back generally from bad performances. They got blown out last week, and they take it out on the Vikings.
I'm with Paul. Sunday at 1:00, Carolina at Kansas City. Carolina at Kansas City.
I love when Fred gives me the stamp of approval. Kansas City is getting 3 at home to Carolina. Wow.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
I'm just going to take Carolina. I couldn't possibly pick Kansas City against anyone anywhere.
Yeah, I have to agree. It's as
I think Jamal Charles will get Cam Newton's autograph, maybe his picture afterwards.
He's so vindictive against people.
Carolina, you taking?
I'm taking Carolina to win.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. Is this a bad year to have the number one overall pick, you know, 2013 draft?
Yes.
Yeah?
I don't think it's ever a bad year to have the number one overall pick because you can do things with it.
Yeah, but you can't do as much when there's not as much talent.
Well, it's certainly better.
You could get rid of it and get and
wait but you can't get
year.
As much for it. It's always a better year to have the number one pick when there's more talent because you have more people.
It's always best when there's a marquee quarterback that's a consensus like Andrew Luck.
Right.
Nothing. This is a bad year to have the number one pick. That's what Pioli will bitch about.
Arizona at the Jets, Sunday at 1:00. Arizona at the Jets.
Jets by 4.5.
Ooh.
This is a bad game.
Sure is.
Surprised at that number?
No.
No? Because the NFC West stinks.
I mean, they have, you know, only lost 7 in a row.
You have a team with no quarterback against a team with no quarterback.
Correct.
So I'm going to take the team that's running home with no quarterback simply because they're home.
I'm going to take the team that is due for a win, and that's the Cardinals, even though they're on the road. And the Jets are trying to bounce back from that ugly game on Thanksgiving.
Nope. But ugly.
Yes. Cardinals win.
Yeah, the Cardinals either win this game by about 32 points or the Jets win, you know, handily. I will take the Jets. I don't think it'll be a close game, in other words.
One team's going to blow the other out.
Right.
You only beat us by 24, so you actually lose.
If the Jets show up, they win. If they don't, they get blown out.
Believe it or not, I got to go with the Jets in this game.
I believe it.
So
you've always been a Jets fan since growing up.
But it'll be
there.
Interesting.
We'll see what Rex Ryan's got. See what kind of pride they have, because they can't be any more embarrassing than what
they
just did.
This is it. They've hit rock bottom. No fireman Ed to lead the chance.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is about Rex though.
No,
this
I'm just saying, can they
be a professional individual?
Exactly.
I don't think a coach can coax pride. You either have it or you don't.
Oh, but you do set the tone.
But if your coach
you
is
don't
moping
think he's
around,
gonna show up, I don't think he's gonna mope.
That's what
I'm looking
wondering.
To beat some ass this week. I'm not. I don't have any guarantee that Mr. Stop Sucking So Bad is going to be ready to stop sucking so bad.
But if
I think that's part of coaching.
A couple things,
make sure that they're not
if
sitting around saying
bad
stop
things
sucking
happen
so
early
bad.
And Rex Ryan's on the sideline, like just looking at the ground with making faces, that's not good for the team. It's not good for the team.
But he, yeah, I think this is on the players, not Rex.
Yes, 90% is on the players. San Francisco at St. Louis, Sunday at 1.
San Francisco by 7.
Kaepernick starting again.
I'm going to go with San Francisco to win and cover. Sorry, Sam.
Yeah, I think they are the better team, and even though they're on the road and still not sold on Kaepernick is the answer there. But
me neither.
I think they are the more complete team, and that defense comes through.
Cover.
What's the number again?
7.
No, I will take the points.
Yeah, I'll lay the points. The Niners win in a rout.
This is my upset special of the week. St. Louis wins.
That'll be good for the quarterback controversy.
I think Harbaugh made a gutsy move by declaring this guy the starter, but you know,
extremely risky.
Real gutsy move, but if this guy makes a big play to lose a game, you know, a big mistake, it's going to be tough.
At least one member of this organization said to me in the locker room yesterday, smart move, very smart move. Bet you can't guess who. Somebody in the PR department.
Oh.
He said it with a straight face, too. Well, you know, it's a smart move.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a smart move.
That's kind of what he said.
I can see why Harbaugh
did. Should be in the Hall of Fame.
You know,
have you seen my
this
baby
guy,
lately?
This guy definitely is more of an athlete. And you know, one thing that Kaepernick has is he's got nuts. He's not a... He's not afraid to make a mistake, this guy.
You know, listen, we could do a whole show on it. I think that there's something to be said for the fact that I think Harbaugh looked at Alex Smith and said, he's playing very well, but he can't get me where I want to go. This guy might be able to, but it's an enormous risk. He's 1,000% right. And he said it 2 weeks ago after the first game that Kaepernick played. You don't know how this kid's going to play. You look and see physically that he can do things Alex Smith can't. He has a bigger arm. He can get the ball down the field to wide receivers Alex Smith couldn't. But if he doesn't play as well as Alex Smith, and then somehow you might fracture your locker room, then what? At least you had a team that was capable of getting an NFC championship.
One thing I thought was interesting on Showtime last night, the highlights from the sideline with all the talk, clearly he and Moss are very close. Now take that as a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. But he and Moss are clearly very close.
Okay. Sunday at 1, and again, that was my upset, St. Louis. Houston at Tennessee, Sunday at 1.
Houston by 6.
Why is Houston only favored by 6?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Seems like a small number.
Truly like 9.
On the road.
I think Tennessee blows.
They do. But, I mean, how many are you on favored by on the road?
About 10.
Patriots are only 7.5. Miami blows. Houston, Tennessee beat Miami 34-3.
Okay.
On the road.
Okay, you sold me.
Wow.
Either way, I think it's a
mark tape.
One of the easiest picks in the history of picks. I'll take Houston.
Texans to win and cover.
Yeah.
This was
one I'd actually put legitimate money on. Like,
especially after the last two games.
I would go put, you know, $500 on the Texans to win. I feel comfortable about
that. Yeah, I'm going to share the pick, not anywhere near the confidence. I think Houston is struggling badly right now. I think they're looking ahead to the Patriots. I think this has upset special written all over it, but it's just too much of a gap in talent. I'll just take the
I guess Fred's going to go with Paul.
I hope I'm elbowing.
I hope you're right, too.
I hope I'm elbowing you going, yeah, they really look like they're struggling when they're up 35-0.
I hope you're right, too. I picked Houston.
Houston wins, but I will take the points. We'll skip over the Patriots, and we'll go to Sunday.
Make sure you do that, Paul.
At 4:05, Tampa Bay at Denver. This should be a good game.
Denver by 7.
Ooh.
I'll take Denver to win and cover. I like, if I'm a Bucs fan, I like sort of the cultural turnover, but I don't think the Bucs are all that good right now, personally. I know Doug Martin's been good. I just have no faith in the quarterback, and I'm going to pick this game on the road. I'm going with the better quarterback.
I'm going to go with the better quarterback to win, but I like the Bucs to keep it competitive. I'll take the number.
Yeah, I like Denver, too, and I agree with Andy's reasoning. As you know, Andy, I think Denver's a tough place to play.
To say, why would you set up home there?
When you have an NFC team that doesn't come there
often. Viagra helps in Denver.
Okay.
That was part of the story, but in, right, in altitude, right, Viagra.
Gravity?
Once again, Andy has to butt in about
thin air.
It's something about playing at altitude. Viagra is something that people playing in Denver are supposedly use more.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
So Peyton Manning, the big penis head.
Yeah, I think it's tough on teams that aren't used to playing there, and I think Tampa Bay will have a tough time.
I'll bet you a certain coach called up another certain coach this week and said, hey, you got any tips for playing Peyton Manning? I'll bet you.
Perhaps.
Viagra.
I mean, I don't
I don't even know what he's talking
Schiano
about.
Schiano and Belichick. They're best buddies.
Oh. I'm going to go with Denver. I'm going to go with Denver, but I'll be
every year's different.
Lately?
Every year's different.
I can give you the tapes from the 03 AFC Championship game. Have you seen me try to stop
you? Schiano goes, these guys don't fit my way. And
so
Belichick goes,
like?
I'll take them. Winslow, I'll take him. Tlaib, I'll take him.
Pittsburgh, 425. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Roethlisberger, unclear whether he's going to play.
Baltimore by 8.
I wouldn't bet the 500 that Andy's putting on the Texans.
Oh, I wouldn't touch this game with real money. No. I will take Baltimore to win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take the points.
Ooh.
I'm going to take the points. I think this is
going to
still
show
be
up in this
an
game?
Ugly slugfest.
Mendenhall is like fourth on the depth chart.
Well, he had a bad fumble. Whoa. Of course, so did your guy, too. Yeah. So did the next guy.
All four running backs fumbled.
We're going to see Brian Hoyer in this game?
No.
I think we do, because Baltimore wins and covers.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think Baltimore wins and covers, too. I think they cause about 5 turnovers, that's how they do it.
Well, yes, if Steeler bodies
Baltimore's
are flailing
offense,
around the field like they were
insane
last week.
Baltimore's
that
offense
how many
is
times that, I mean,
did you see that, Fred? Like, your guy Dwyer got undercut, like a big guy. You never see him go ass over tee, and the ball comes out. There was another guy that
Rainey,
got,
like,
spun around
off a tackle with a beautiful spin move. Goes about 5 extra yards, and then, like, a half an inch from the ground, the ball squirts out.
Yeah, they were just strange turnovers.
And the ball was popping out like it was shot out of cannons,
yeah,
too.
Strange.
You know, usually
some
a fumble
weird,
just
weird fumble.
I think it was, like, greased up or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a strange, strange game. But I will take Baltimore to cover. I said this to you guys. I don't understand Baltimore's offense. It looks like they have all the pieces. Last week, as an example, Flacco completes over 60% of his passes, throws for 340 yards, no interceptions. The running back, who's as good as anybody, rushes for 100 yards and like 20 carries.
And the confidence he had to check down to Ray Rice Torrey on that
Smith.
4th-and-29.
Torrey Smith has like 140 yards receiving. They convert like 8 out of 12 third down chances in the second half and overtime, and they can't score.
They don't
like,
have it, Paul.
I don't understand what it is. I mean, their offensive line is shaky, and I suppose...
It doesn't matter. You have all that production.
Yeah, I don't understand
Flacco.
Why they can't score.
Flacco. Blame him.
Yep. Baltimore wins and covers.
Did you see that story just real quick on the John Harbaugh mutiny? I think it was a Michael Silver story that I think coming out of their bye, mid-October, he came back and he said, we're going full pads. And basically all the veterans were like, grump, we're not going full.
Hell no.
Like it was a borderline mutiny, different people said. And they had this long sit-down discussion. And they ended up not practicing in pads. He took back. He changed his mind. They convinced him. And... you know, now everybody's crediting it with how well they're playing and all this, and he's saying, you know, this. You know, I'm open to discussion. If you can prove me wrong, I'm fine being wrong if it's right for the team.
It's one of those things when it works.
When Joe Philbin does it, he's soft punani.
Exactly.
When John Harbaugh does it, we go on
and
winning streak, tough guy, woo!
We've seen examples of it here with Bill. Bill has told us many times he has those captain's meetings, and they convince him to change his mind on something. When it works, it's brilliance. Now,
not sure you want it out there.
If they went out and you know, peed all over themselves after they didn't practice in pads, you Pete Carroll, and you're saying, "Oh, we screwed up the bye week."
But either way, I don't think you want the story out there.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Quickly,
either.
We have because it's after 2, and we have to get going. Cleveland at Oakland, 4:25. Cleveland at Oakland.
Pick
them.
Cleveland at Oakland. I don't usually like to pick Oakland, but they put some points on the board, so I am going to go with them. You know, I'll say Palmer will have 5 touchdowns and just 4 interceptions, and that'll be enough to win.
I hate to say this, but I'm going to go with the better team, and that's Cleveland.
Who's
Cleveland.
Older?
Cleveland.
Who's older, Whedon or Palmer?
That's a good question.
And Palmer's been like great, bad, new home.
Who's older, Paul or Whedon?
They were talking about that last week. He was going against Charlie Batch, and they were talking about that. You know, not that much of a gap as you would think with an old 40-year-old veteran backup.
Although they're actually talking about playing Pryor, Terrell Pryor.
Oh, boy.
In Oakland.
I didn't know that.
Oh, boy.
I will take
By the way, if they do, can I take the Browns?
Yeah.
Cleveland.
This guy taking Cleveland.
I'm taking Cleveland, too.
I'm with Paul.
Cincinnati at San Diego, Sunday at 4:25.
Big game for Natty. Big game.
Cincinnati at San Diego.
Bengals by 1.5.
Bengals win and cover. They are, strange to say, they are the better organization right now. They, what they bring to the field, coaching-wise, talent-wise, is just better. They are rolling. They can rush the passer. They'll get after Rivers, and Rivers will throw picks. And Benny playing well lately as well. Add that to the Red Rifle and A.J. Green. They're a formidable foe in the Poe season.
The Bengals are a team that needs to win this game to prove that they are legit. And
they need consistency.
They do. And you know what? They're still the Bengals. I don't believe in them, so I'm going to go with...
You're going with Norvell.
Oh, come on, Kevin!
The cue! San Diego, wow. He missed the cue.
I was stunned. I didn't think he was going to pick
him. I didn't think he
was
either.
You have to be ready with either one. All it's right, that one, or go F yourself, San Diego.
Okay.
Once again, the anger comes out.
Right.
I will take Cincinnati, just flat out better team, and I think they're on a roll. They got something going. And I think they will end up with one of those wild cards when it's all said and done.
Cincinnati.
Will they come to New England?
Sunday, 8:20, Philadelphia at Dallas. Vic is out.
Dallas by 10.
I will take Dallas to win and cover. Philly is a debacle.
I'll take the Cowboys to win at home, but I don't trust them with that many points. So.
Yeah, but Vic, I know, but
I just don't trust the Cowboys.
I know, but...
So Philadelphia, I'll take the number.
Philadelphia is a practice squad team player. Right. Like, they're, nothing there.
Yeah, and that's the only reason I'm going to lay the points, because I agree with Eric. Dallas stinks.
I mean,
but
yeah.
At least they're an NFL team. Right now, Philadelphia's not.
Yeah, I got to go with Dallas. Monday night.
Bum, bum, bum.
The Giants at Washington.
Giants by 2.5.
I am going to go with the Giants to win. And I've heard people say this, and I think it makes sense. I think those guys have faced him now, RG3, those athletic pass rushers. They will perform better the second time around, and I think the Giants will get the job done.
Yeah, I hate to do it. I don't like them, but I'll pick the Giants to win on the road and cover.
Yeah, I will echo those sentiments. I like the Giants in this one.
And afterwards, Shanahan gets on a plane to Mexico with his 3,700 bucks.
Well, he doesn't have his passport, though. So,
I'll go with the Giants as well. All right, back to Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Paul, get us back there, please.
New England at Miami.
7.5.
7.5.
Despite the fact that I had the 3 losses in Miami in December, the only 5 losses, blah, 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 crap.
Forget about it.
The bigger number is the 24. Plus 24, minus 10. The Patriots will continue to make plays on defense, force some turnovers. You know, my guy Daniel Thomas has a fumbling problem. Tannehill has no problem giving the ball away. I'm sure they'll put up numbers. Bess will probably have 7 catches for 120. But in the end, the plays will matter, and the Patriots will make the plays. I look for some big plays down the field as well against that secondary. Big plays from Brady in the passing game. Patriots, 33. Dolphins, 13.
Okay.
Listen to this bill of goods that the... Dolphins were trying to sell on the conference call today. Philbin and Tannehill both claimed they had no clue that the Patriots could win the division by beating them on Sunday. They're not prepared. They're going to get smoked.
Okay.
This Northeastern wannabe coach Philbin. Here's where Paul wants to fight Eric or something.
I think the Patriots are going to blow them out. I think for the reason Andy gave about the turnovers, it's a team that turns it over a lot, playing against a team that takes it away a lot. I like the team that takes it away a lot. 38-23.
Well, you're picking them.
I
take that with what you will.
I will take the Patriots, and I will take the number, and I will make a prediction by midway third quarter. Patriots fans outnumber Dolphins fans in the stadium.
Including our friend Manny.
Well, it's going to be half and half to begin with.
Right.
Which it usually is.
Right, but they'll be cleared out.
Sure.
Tune into the PPGS.
All right, that's going to be it for this week of PFW in Progress. Want to thank everyone. Stay tuned. Is the playbook next? No playbook. It's a replay of this show.
It was a good one. Listen again.
And then Football Nation at 4 o'clock with the guys. PPGS on Sunday.
10:45. Send your photos from Miami with the Tatas.
And we'll see you next Tuesday. And Ben Affleck, I'm still waiting for that picture.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.